This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another potentially eventful show here in Studio C, coming to you live from the heart of Central Phoenix, Arizona. That's where we are from. Thank you for listening from around the world. Everybody's on the chat room already. We got Nero and Edith and Dawn and my mom. So many people jumping around on there. It's great. Thank you all. It's we're down yet another one. Marnie Ryer apparently has fallen ill, and she will be possibly enjoying us from afar this evening. I don't know if she's going to listen in, or she could possibly chime in the chat room. Oh, I got a wrong mic for you. Try
two. Oh, here I am.
Now this microphone is like a mile away.
Well, that's
how does that work? Oh, she sits off at an angle, doesn't
right,
she?
Right, she does. Like
well,
that.
Well, now, yeah.
How does she work this shit?
Alice chosen
it's
to take...
It's very complicated over yeah. there, whatever right. happens in that seat.
Alice chosen to take Marnie's seat because he has a better shot. Behind me over here, if you're watching us on the video, behind me there is a huge screen where we have the chat room up, and you can just glance up and see it. Oh, it's over
right
there.
Right over there.
Thank you. Where?
It's over there.
There.
There is such a joke with that selfie stick of Kat Carlson's. My God, it was a big weekend and
best $12 I've ever spent.
Yeah, you got a lot of mileage for that $12.
I got a lot of comedy out of it. Yeah.
Very much so. Very funny. Anyway, here we are, and thank you again. It's show number 206. It's the 10th of March as we come to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Potentially, it's the 11th of March for those of you listening in other parts of the world.
Is it really?
Abroad.
That's tomorrow. Remember, we're morning shows for Cairo.
Right.
Oh, it's the 11th for... Oh, don't confuse me. damn it.
Oh, and then not to be confused, everybody else is all jacked up because of that daylight savings time spring forward shit again. So people don't know when the hell we're on or what
Kudos
we're doing.
Kudos to those of you that found us at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good work.
You're doing better than most other people. In fact, some people here in the studio. Oh, hi, Dr. Kat.
Oh, very good, Edith.
Yes, very good.
Good work.
Heaven's sakes alive. Well, we've all managed. Al is on the mend still, I think, with his illness. He was.
Yeah, I'm drinking and I rode my bike. So.
Oh, two things that are thumbs
she's,
up.
She's
two
things fine. Back.
Yeah. Good.
She's That's, fine.
Oh, they're just enthralled. Now I feel like, remember when Steve Cerna was with us and he just watched the video monitor? You're just watching.
No, but he just watched a picture of him.
Yeah, he was just looking at himself the whole time.
Totally. Yes, Aaron, that's that selfie stick. Oh, hello, Aaron from LA.
Oh, Aaron, yes.
Oh, my heaven's sakes alive.
So what I mean, is it so you can get a picture from further away of yourself? I don't understand the selfie stick.
Yes. Well, if you take a lot of like the group selfie, then your arms just can't quite get long enough, and then you only get like one person's eyeball in the little corner there, so you can widen the shot a little bit.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Only you can had also friends that could take your picture.
If only.
Well, you want them to be in it.
Sure.
Or you just hire people that
and
risk.
Also, in the event that you were somewhere beautiful and wanted to get maybe more of the landscape. And,
oh, the panor-
I gotcha.
I block out a fair amount of photo.
Oh.
So the farther that
I
yeah, I sure do. Yeah.
You make a hell of a door, Kat, not a good window.
Yeah.
I take up a lot of that frame. So if I wanted to take a photo of myself, say, at the wonderful and palatial Cobalt this afternoon, which
you
I know, did.
Oh, you did. Yes.
I took out the selfie stick and I got a very nice like landscape shot behind me of the beautiful bar. And I only took up this much of the photo.
Nothing
this
says
much of the photo.
Palatial grandeur, like.
Like a Central Phoenix gay bar.
Yeah. There's that. Beautiful.
Like a patio in the middle of nowhere.
But there's lots of houseplants on that.
That always cracks me up. I'm like, it's like we're almost outdoors. we're outside with 50 feet from fresh air.
With all these plants just absorbing smoke right
Which
and left.
Which for some people is close enough.
Yeah.
And
as close as they're ever going
to
get. Right, yeah.
Don't want to get too close to nature.
No, who wants to be close to nature like that? Heaven's sakes. Well, right. We'll jump right into it. Kat Carlson, you and I worked together a little bit on Saturday.
Air quotes around
air
the work.
Air quotes of work, yeah, very much so.
We sure
yeah,
didn't work.
I was going to say, I'm going to need a word definition. I need a working definition of the word working.
Well, in fairness to Kat, she was stationed at a bar that was not as busy as other.
I looked like I was working. I was wearing the official T-shirt of the occasion.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was standing next to someone who was also capable of doing work.
Mm-hmm.
I was surrounded by things that I could potentially make cocktails with.
Mm-hmm. known as work.
Sure. known in my world as work.
Yes. And I feel there were sad non-drinking people around you due to your lack of efficiency.
No, we were like the bad stepchildren just stuck in the back parking lot where nobody knew we were there.
They couldn't find him at first.
Of Stacy's.
Yes.
Yeah, so what Stacy did is...
Beyond the fence, beyond the barricade, is there a drink you'd like to drink?
Round right. back.
Yes. Yeah, we were the white trash round back.
Yes, because there's fucking nothing back there. It's apartment complex that complains about the noise.
Yeah, for the Melrose Street Fair, Stacy got the extended premises permit and put up the lovely chain link fence that you have to put up when you do the
nice
permit.
Nice fence.
It is a nice fence. Yeah, it's quality.
Uh-huh.
Keeps people working. Keeps Americans working. That's
sure does. Sure does.
Especially fence setter uppers.
Yeah.
And so the idea was to have...
And the like.
Yeah. The idea, and I see where it was going, was to have a secondary patio back there with another bar to serve people and more space for people. And it took a while for everybody to overflow, like, from the front door to the actual nice patio to be like, oh, there's
the
shit out back,
The barren wasteland,
too.
Yeah.
Right. There's a keg of Bud Light and two bottles of vodka out back, too. Oh, good.
It might be a dark day. I might be wandering an alley and need your services.
Right.
Happy to see you.
I'll be in that alley. But no, it was actually a really fun time. And we did, as the afternoon went on, actually picked up and there were tables and chairs out back and a food truck. And it did. It just took a little while. So I had the great pleasure of really just standing around for about 2 hours and talking to Mr. McKee and my new husband.
Yes.
My new husband.
The husband. And from what I understand, it was a lovely day.
It was a
beautiful
lovely
day. Really was nice.
Yeah,
absolutely. Great day for the street
fair. Based on weather reports I read later.
And Kyle and I went and promptly stole all of the umbrellas that were intended for the comfort of customers and put them around our bar so we were shaded nearly the entire time.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because when you're just sitting stationary, you're a target for that sun.
Because I was looking and it was like a metal portable bar and I looked at Kyle and I'm like, we're just going to cook.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So they set that all up.
So that was good. And then.
So you were there, though, for the height of it. Because there was a little bit of a rush back there and it got going.
Yeah.
So that. And then it just died out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean,
right after you
because
left.
Because the street fair ends at some point.
Well, right.
Unlike the memorial bar that lives on in infamy.
Yeah. Well, the hope and the dream was that everybody would get there and stay, and we can be literally outside. But no, it didn't. The dream died.
And as organically as it possibly could, the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge sprung up.
Fucking funny stuff. because a group of people moved a bunch of tables over in the shade of the food truck.
Stolen umbrellas. Oh,
they moved over into the shade.
No, we had all the umbrellas. But the food truck was giving about 3 feet worth of shade at the moment.
So she designated that as the. The Memorial Garden, is that what it was?
The Cat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge.
VIP Lounge, got it. It was funny.
God damn it, do not read the press releases.
Write it down.
I can't keep it. She has so many memorial things.
Yeah.
And the funny part was I watched her say that a couple times to people who didn't get it, and they're like,
what?
Aren't you Cat Carlson? Yeah.
I do have to explain occasionally that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Buddy Early was one I had to explain that to.
That's a sad day for
dead
Buddy.
Yet.
I'm not dead.
Yeah.
We've got
Buddy Early's like, but you're not dead. I said, that's why it's funny, buddy. Hashtag comedy is hard.
Yeah. That SNL skit where Natalie Cole sings songs with all the dead people. And one of them at the time was Tammy Wynette. And she's like, I'm not dead. Your daddy's dead. I'm not dead yet. It was, I can't remember who played Tammy Wynette, but it was so.
That sounds like
funny.
Something that Jan Hooks would have done.
Then that sounds about the right era, too.
Yeah.
Unforgivable in every way. Yeah. I hated that fucking song.
Yeah, I still don't like that song.
Good.
I had to stop going to weddings for like 10 years because I was like, I'm going to do is criticize the father daughter dance.
This terrible song, yeah.
Because, your dad's alive. Stop singing that song. Plus, why is she singing a love song with her dead dad? Like, I'm...
Also weird.
Creepy.
Yeah. A lot of weird happening.
Yeah. Kind of like when somebody dances to My Funny Valentine and he just calls her ugly for like 3 solid minutes.
The whole time, yeah.
Yeah. You're ugly. You're kind of forgettable. You're...
A little bit fat.
Yeah, a little bit fat. But kind of like you.
But, I can't explain it, but I like you anyway.
There's a wedding song.
Kind of describes this show.
Just cling to that word Valentine as you dance.
Well, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life.
Yeah, make an ugly woman your wife. It's true.
Dream the impossible dream.
That's such a funny song.
Yes.
So be happy for the rest of your life.
So anyway, Sunday, I was a little envious because you had the Superman bounce a lot.
Oh, that's right.
Your birthday. Not your birthday.
Not my birthday, no, but a wonderful young man in my house turned 7 last week.
Oh, congratulations.
And so we had the birthday party, and we, of course, rented the bounce house and served the cake and did the things with small children in a finite amount of time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Limited.
I know.
Have a great time, but you've got this much time to do it.
Because Sharon wanted to do like an 8-hour extravaganza, and I was like,
Oh no, shut it down. Has she never met children?
No, or their parents? She has. And what's really funny about it is she was really kind of like trying to drag it out because I think she was enjoying having company at the house, and I get that. But she was kind of trying to drag it out.
Is she a hostage of some sort?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay, all
right. Right.
She was enjoying the freedom. And but their daughter, Suri, too.
What was funny is that kids are so used to like the birthday party format is that they all like... Seriously, spontaneously, an hour and maybe an hour and 15 minutes after they all arrived, they all sat at the table ready for cake. Because they know. You show up, you say hello, you play for an hour, you sit down, you have cake, you play for about 30 more minutes, and boom, out the door.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah,
that's the birthday party format. Like, everywhere you go.
I didn't realize there was a format.
There is.
That's good to know.
Yeah, and you know, kid-friendly places like, you know, your Chuck E. Cheese and your trampoline park, the places that host them for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's... their timeline and their format. Like, you've got your hour of playtime, you do your kick, you got a little more playtime, and everybody's out the door.
Now that you mention that, and remind me of that, when I worked eons back.
Oh, in the party clown days, in the 80s. I remember this.
Yeah, when I worked for Showbiz Pizza Place, and I used to do birthdays, and it was that, it was. Mm-hmm. You had each hour, and there were like five big tables, so five groups would come in, and everybody was assigned to, you know, a deal. And you're right, it was that. They played skee ball and all other crap for an hour. Then they ate, did the little birthday show. We all sang to them.
Yeah.
Then they had about 20, 30 more minutes, and then out they were. Because we got another party coming in.
And so this group of kids was so good at it, they like sat down at the table. Sharon was out front fucking around with, I don't know, she's talking to her mom or something, like hiding from the party. And I was like, it is time for cake. Like, these kids know.
Yeah.
I told you.
Right. I told you we needed to do cake in 15 minutes. These kids are ready.
That is very funny that they're conditioned. They're like ants. Mm-hmm. We are just ready.
Yeah.
They need that sugar high.
Now, when it becomes, I don't know sure what the age limit is,
mm-hmm.
but for a graduation party for one of my nieces or nephews, we did a bounce, like, obstacle course.
Sure.
And you need quite a bit of yard to do it.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, some of the kids were getting really cocky and, like, flying through that thing.
Right.
And then all of us, all the elderly... aunts went through. None of their husbands went through, but all of us that grew up together, like I talked to all of us into going through.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was hard. But it was, we laughed our asses off and we'd been liquored up because we'd been drinking in the heat all day.
Yeah, some of those are hard. Like there are places in town where they have all of those obstacle courses set up indoors, mm-hmm. which is very nice when you have small children and it's so fucking hot out. And when the kids were littler, like the littlest guy, he would need help through them, so you'd have to go with him. And I would leave just exhausted.
Like,
I can't do anymore. We gotta go.
And you really have to, like, you have to climb a wall, and you mm-hmm. hop over the wall, you do a slide, you
and it's
to
all
crawl
in
under stuff.
Yeah, and it's all in, like, inflated canvas, and so it's all, like, very...
And this was summer in New York, so it was fucking muggy.
Right.
Muggy as shit. So you wanted to get... I mean, it was motivational to get through there, because get me out of this hot mess. And then at the end, to kind of clean it off, they put dish soap... For the kids that were being too cocky, they put dish soap in there and like sprayed it with the hose, so it was like a slick obstacle course. And it just got that was very entertaining. I don't know how much they paid for it, but I was very entertained. I gave that party 2 thumbs up in its Yelp review.
Good work.
So if that kid ever graduates from something again, God bless.
You're gonna go to that party.
Yeah,
good.
Not in the summer. Maybe the autumn.
Well, no, in the winter it'd be hard. Jesus Christ, fucking thing be frozen.
Oh, no, I just meant...
shards of icicles stabbing you in the eyes.
Oh, no, I just
like
meant
launching
a,
up
I just meant a less muggy time of the year. Maybe a spring or an...
Oh, that's all you have is snow and mugginess.
Oh, okay.
Like, those are your two weather conditions.
Those are your options.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swamp ass or frostbite.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Molly, they're all still talking about... Chuck E. Cheese and Showbiz Pizza Place.
Showbiz Pizza was regional because I know they were in Salt Lake as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was in, we had it in my hometown of Joplin, Missouri. And then I actually worked at one in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
All right.
That's when I was my junior year of high school.
We had pizza places. We didn't do all this shit with pizza. We ate our pizza.
Well,
we didn't need a clown to make it better. You just eat the pizza. Go somewhere else for fucking ice cream.
There was no clown.
No,
oh, I thought you played the clown. Or did I just make that up?
No, there was...
In my mind, you were dressed as a clown this entire...
No, I...
Saturday's a cowboy.
I like your version.
Yeah.
No,
it's nice.
I used to take my... Because
big eyelashes.
The way Showbiz Pizza worked, they called them cast members, because you all wore the top hat, the plastic top hat, and had the little vest like you were in a show, like from a... Maybe a barbershop quartet or something.
Oh, dear Lord. Anyway,
so we all wore those things. But I used to take balloons and put them on sticks in my hat. So my hat was a big balloon hat. I used to call it my Dolly Parton hat. And so I did that. And the kids all loved it. But no, the show was an animatronic, and there was a bear that played a banjo and a gorilla that played the keyboards.
Am I hallucinating this? Because this story just...
I can show you videos.
I remember the first time I dropped acid, and I had a story that very, very similar.
Same song.
Same.
Animatronic bears. I had balloons coming out of my head, and I thought it was Dolly Parton. I mean, I recognize all the parts of this insanity.
Seems
maybe
similar.
You were there.
Uncle Milt's
Pizza Palace. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, we have organs. What's it called? Organ Stop Pizza out in Mesa. They have a pizza place with a huge organ in it. That sounds bad to say, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure does.
Huge organ.
Wow.
Sure does.
It's a children's party with a huge organ.
Not appropriate.
Oh, my God.
Not at all.
I don't know. Maybe just because my birthday was around Mother's Day, so we just combined it with Mother's Day, and I never really had a party.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't either.
Until I was old enough to, drink and, have a party. Like,
yeah, we never had, the parties growing up like they do now. Like, now it's almost kind of expected, oh, when's the kid's birthday party? And now you're like, oh, fuck, well, I gotta make the reservation, and then I gotta invite as many kids as I can.
Stock up on purse wine.
Right. Well, and if you do it outside of your own home, we didn't always have the space. We just moved into this house over the summer, so if you do it outside of your own home at one of these, kid jungle gym places, it's $20 a kid.
Mm-hmm.
This shit adds up real fast. You ordered 10, there's 30 kids in your class, you gotta pick 10.
Well, remember several weeks back we did the story about the family that billed the kid because he RSVP'd and then didn't show up. Shit happens.
Fuck that.
Yeah, no, I'm not on board. I don't recall ever doing a gathering of birthday party like that I attended or was. We never had.
No.
Mom would make a cake and we had food and we'd ran through the sprinkler in the yard. I mean, that was kind of
And we lived in the same city as most of my mom's side of the family. So, we'd go to grandma's house and aunts and uncles would come over. And, it would always be, a family dinner for your birthday.
And my birthday was in May, so there was a good chance of snow, too. So
sure.
Still in May.
There certainly wasn't a pool party.
An outdoor festival.
Yeah.
Didn't we know somebody who moved their birthday so that they didn't have to have their birthday in shitty weather all the time?
No, Harrison moved hers. She would lie because it was after school got out.
So she could have it during school.
So she was school because she was a summer kid.
Oh, gotcha. She wouldn't miss her party.
In New York, you stay in school till the end of June, so mm-hmm. she would have not had to. She grew up in Arizona, where they go to school 5 days a year. So
they kick them out.
Seems that way.
Or in certain cities around the area, they've adopted the 4-day school week that's just happening in
because there's no money.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, which is going to just cause a upheaval for everybody with daycare and parents.
Oh my
and
god!
Shit.
I mean, you want you absolutely want them in school 5 days a week. That's your babysitter.
52 weeks.
Granted,
a year,
they
yeah.
may learn something.
Sure.
52 weeks a year. I like how you threw that in there. No spring break. No Christmas break.
Nope.
Terribly sorry.
Go to school, assholes.
Yeah. Now have your cake and get out.
Yeah.
Right. Cake. You got 20 minutes. Time to go.
Pretty much. Got it. So
Our Lady of Perpetual Pepper. That's funny.
Oh, the empty Catholic church.
Yeah, Don, that was more my birthday party.
Yeah, she ran out of space. It's Our Lady of Perpetual Pepperoni.
Oh, Oni. Okay.
Oh, there's the Oni.
That's even
Molly.
Funnier.
Our Lady of Perpetual Pepperoni. An empty Catholic church. Wow, how does that happen?
Well, I don't know. Really?
Yeah. I didn't. They ran out of Catholics?
Well, they built a bigger one, I guess. And they all moved over there, so they had either a storage unit or they rented it out as a pizza place. I don't know. Who knows what the hell they've done?
There's the church, Our Lady of Perpetual Sorrow, and I'm like, who would go to that church?
Sad people.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wow, those Catholics really need better PR.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Mr. Perkins, what have you been up to?
You're
feeling better, allegedly.
Yeah, slowly but surely. Went out for a couple drinks Sunday morning. One of my favorite coworkers has left the building. We're going to a different hospital, and so we went for breakfast and a couple drinks, and I hadn't drank in a while, and so I had my two Bloody Marys, and I slept for about 20 hours afterwards because I was just exhausted. And then,
but it's good you're sleeping though.
Oh yeah, yeah. And picked up a shift last night and made it through that, and felt actually kind of better when it was.
Oh, good.
By the time it was done, so I thought, well, we're going to bring liquor and a bike to this one and sleep for another 20.
Get back to life.
Yeah, That's good.
But I think I should have gone with vodka because the taste buds are really not enjoying. What is a very nice bottle of wine is really
being wasted.
Being wasted, gotcha. Yeah. Because this could be just NyQuil at this point because it doesn't taste like a fucking thing.
Is it too late to switch? Is there vodka in the house?
Oh, no, but the wine's open. So now we just gotta drink it. Oh, now we just have to drink it, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so now you just can't waste it.
Yeah.
No, God, no.
So, that's about it. Just kind of laying around and hoping for... to feel better, and then realizing there's this whatever this is just going around. Like everybody's got some version of this.
Yeah.
Delightfulness.
It sounds wonderful. Here's what I'd like you to do: is just keep it in that corner.
Yeah. Well, one would assume that any contagious portions ended.
I'd have gotten it last week.
Did you ever have a temperature with this?
Just the first day, and then gone. Like nothing about it says you're going to catch it, except for. You know, I think set a world record for washing my hands.
No.
I do have to say that.
Good work.
You hold the brush. Good to know. In our midst.
And I've got the chappy hands to prove
the
it.
The
world record holder.
Hand washer.
Exactly. God, that's a good title to have.
Can you add that to your Facebook as like an accomplishment, please?
Parenthetically. Yeah.
World record
holder.
Hand washer.
No. Does anybody practice a religion or feel like they're connected to a particular religion? I'm going to say no. I don't know, Kat. I don't think we've ever asked you that.
We're diving into religion already?
Gosh, really? We're already at Thoughtful Vulgarity this early in the... Woo! Even in the first half hour.
But no, I'll definitely answer. I was interestingly enough, raised without religion because my parents come from conflicting religious backgrounds. My father was raised Mormon, and my mom kind of a Methodist, but really just a read-the-paper-on-Sundays kind of a family. So... Because we were,
yeah.
which was really interesting living in Salt Lake, like I did, because everyone goes to church. All the Mormons, like they all go to the same church and they all know each other. So as I've grown up, I like to think that all things are possible, but I think for the most part, I identify mostly atheist. Like if I can't see it and touch it, I usually don't believe in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was raised pretty strict, not strict Methodist. I like to say strict Methodist, and then I found out
oxymoron.
Out much later what Methodist meant and realized we didn't
practice at all except for going to church
Vegas,
on Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean my mom was very religious and everything. She just did a little cherry picking of the Methodist rules. And my dad was actually raised Salvation Army. I don't know how my grandmother went from Catholic to Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dead, so we can't ask her. But she switched to a non-denominational.
Inconvenient.
This just in, Al's grandmother passed on.
Still dead. So she switched to, she was a non-denominational. And then her kids all kind of chose. And my dad kind of went with, well, this lady seems to be Methodist. So I'll fake that once in a while. So, I mean, by the time I was a teenager, we were all professional Sunday disease people. My dad would accompany her on, like, big days.
Christmas, and, Easter.
My sister developed the perpetual Sunday sore throat and... About 14 or 15, I was like, I think I have what she had. What is, can we review her again? Because I'm going to say whatever she has.
I feel like I have that.
But I did the whole shebang. I was in the choir, the kids chorus, kids plays, like church, the youth group. I went to D.C. with the youth group. I mean, I read The Shining and got everybody drunk, but
yeah,
I mean,
I was 12.
Like you do.
Yeah.
You're a little behind the times.
But so. I was definitely raised with the whole culture.
I used to always jokingly say that half the family's Catholic, half is Christian, half doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's what I always used to say back home, because I had I mentioned before, I come from a family of three sets of grandparents, because before I came along, my father's parents were divorced and both remarried, so sure. I had three sets of grandparents, because mom's parents were together. So part of that was my dad's mother was very Catholic, and that whole thing. I mean, she even had Jesus on a fucking lighter that was on the dining room table. I remember that.
Well, God bless.
Yes. And then my religion really wasn't talked about a whole lot. Certainly not positively in my mom's parents' house, because grandpa always thought everybody was a lying bastard. And, you know, all those churches, they're all just lying, hypocritical, blah, 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 blah. So that's pretty much how that was. But I agree with Kat. I think I'm pretty much in the atheist mode as well, because I just can't believe in something I can't see, touch, feel, you know.
Yeah, I believe in the whole, like, nature thing, the whole Mother Nature,
yeah.
The spirit of the trees, the blue corn moon bullshit. I believe in that more
that
often.
That seems awfully gay.
Yeah. It does. Is there a more gay religion outside of Catholicism that I may enjoy?
Is there a gayer way to say that?
Well, the Catholics get a purse that's on fire.
But I'll tell it, because one of my favorite stories is when my sister got married, and I would just get bored in church, and my mom would be like, all right, there's a movie about this part of the Bible, just read this. So she would always like point me towards stuff that there were movies about that I'd seen, so I could, because I love to read.
Sure.
And then, you know, whenever a good song would come on and we all got to sing, I would like stand up for that. But I mostly just sat there and like counted to myself. I was just bored shitless in there. So my sister got married right before I turned 16. And we were picking the, you know, she was getting married in our church. And then I realized, like, oh, someone had talked about that they had had a reception hall in the basement of the church. It was built in the 1800s, 18-something or other. Mm-hmm. And the basement of the church was a little sketchy. Like, you know, you'd want a tiny bit more fancy. This was just, like, you know, where she had her reception was no more fancy. But so I was like, why are we going to a Catholic church for the, a Catholic hall? For the reception, like, yes, it's the hall is a little bit closer to our house, but, you know, drinking and driving in 1983, no one cared about that.
Right, it was encouraged.
Yeah, exactly, just do it.
A roadie from the Perkins.
Nike,
it was engraved on the glass.
Exactly, Nike was just sponsoring drinking and driving at that point. So I was like, why are we not doing the reception downstairs from the actual wedding? Like, what's the deal with that? And she's like, oh, the Methodists don't drink. You can't drink here. And I'm like,
what the hell's wrong with these people?
You signed up for... She's like, well, why do you think we always drink grape juice at communion? She's like, there's no liquor. Like, they don't buy into any of that. You can't even fake wine with these people. And I'm like, what else are they against in this little crowd here? And she's like, oh, gambling. I'm like, bitch, you go to Vegas twice a year. Like, I learned to play craps when I was 7 or 8 years old on Thanksgiving. Like, we had a legitimate game of craps where I won like $50 at someone's house. Like, and I'm like, for real? She's like, well, we're not into everything. And
right.
That just cracked me up, that she was not going to have her own daughter get married at the church, but we have to go drink. It was one of the funniest conversations, and the look on my mother's face, like, listen, Alfie, enough with the fucking questions. We drink, they don't. We're breaking up.
Listen, you little shit. Sit down, shut up, and go make me a martini.
And the irony in that story is that, you know, people want to chastise you for cherry picking what you want out of the religion. Well, if you look, that's all they do now. But I mean, even in the churches, none of them actually go hardcore scripture and obey everything. Otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
No, they all pick and choose their own shit. They're all hypocritical.
Oh, well, yeah, there's the Old Testament.
I could just see the look on my mother's face, like, no one else asks questions.
Yeah.
Like, my sister probably was like, well, everybody has their reception at St. Charles.
That's just what we do.
Hall, yeah. You don't ask questions.
You didn't realize that there was a real reason behind it. Got it.
Not going to have an open bar when it's all just grape juice. What the fuck?
No point.
No point at all with that.
All right, now, whatever your name is down there.
Sir or ma'am.
I barely see you.
Like we mentioned earlier, I spent all Saturday at Stacy's for that street fair thing. And then one of the oh, I love how you're writing again on that. That makes me laugh.
It's the coolest shit ever.
It really is. And then you post it online. I think that's fantastic. It's one of those things that when you're fighting a battle against something that you can't see or you can't do, it's a software thing where Microsoft does something and you're like, everything worked before, and then why doesn't it work? And you spend hours and hours chasing an unknown tail to figure where the fuck it is. That was a part of a frustrating weekend for us. We figured a couple things out, blah, blah, blah. Things move on. It's the norm stuff. Big weekend, but God, absolutely gorgeous weather here in Phoenix, Arizona. Cannot be upset about that at all. And again, like, we're supposed to be, what, in the 91, 92 by the weekend? Something like that?
Well, sure, that makes sense, because, I mean, it's not even the first day of spring yet.
No.
Let's see if we can hit 100 in the winter.
Come on! Do it in March! Come on!
It's good.
It's all right.
I like it, though. It's wonderful outside, and I can't spend enough time outside.
No, right, I totally agree. Yeah. It is a beautiful day.
I always tell people, 80s in March, 90s in April, 100s in May, 110s in June, and then move.
Right. And then July and August, just stay the fuck inside.
For three months.
You have two choices, vacation...
I met a couple of guys at Charlie's the other night. They were sitting at the corner of the bar, older gentlemen, and
what were they doing at Charlie's?
It was early on a Friday, and they were asking questions about how long have you lived? With me asking how long I'd lived here, if I was always from here, yada yada. Named Brian and DJ, they have been together for ever and ever. They're from Kansas City. They bought a condo out here. In the about 6-7 years ago, when the economy tanked, and they bought it for nothing, But they were asking about where they should move because they want to move out here full time. They're both just tired of snow and ice and tornadoes and everything else that Kansas City has to offer. So we all obviously bonded a little bit and talked because I'm from Joplin, which is just due south of Kansas City on the state line. So that was it was nice to meet and talk to some people from back in the Midwest, and they're like, they just love it out here. And I'm like, yeah, move to Central Phoenix. That's where everything is. Everything's available right here in the Central Corridor.
Yes.
So that was cool. I would imagine I will probably see them again as they are moving and going to buy a house at her somewhere. That's cool.
Oh, that's fun for
All right, kids, 7:30. Are you going to tag team with me on this, Carlson?
Sure.
Oh, we're going to make magic. Here we go, kids. It's called Headlines. It goes something like make this. Let's hope we get through this. I'm sure we will.
We're going to try.
It's Tuesday, March 10th, 2015, show number 206. Here's Headlines. They're closed.
Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time, and here's why.
The search for Dancing Man.
Free range parents.
The middle of nowhere.
Fucking Americans.
Incoming eggs.
Hillary plus email equals scandal.
And getting naked at the donut shop. Oh, just titillating stories coming at you right now in Headlines on Q Talk America.
Can I move my chair back?
You're moving back over here?
I don't like it.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to like it down there. Al's moving. I got to change his mic. We're going to move that mic to that mic. Oh, wrong
Stop
mic.
The presses.
Wrong mic.
Yeah, reading the board, not that exciting.
Yeah. It's kind of fun every once in a while. And Molly's here, so funnier than sometimes.
Yeah, Molly, what are you doing? Come on in.
What is that?
Yeah?
Yes. What are you doing there, Kat? Very busy over there. Trying to find something to plug in something.
I'm running out of battery juice.
Somewhere there's a jack. Oh my god, she found it.
Lights up and everything.
I do enjoy that it lights up to signify you got charge coming in.
Makes me happy.
Al, this story made me think about you in regards to your father who used to work for Nabisco. But this is not a Nabisco story, but you'll understand why in just a moment. A Canadian man received more than a balanced breakfast when he recently opened a box of Frosted Flakes cereal to find a handwritten message inside the box. The first thing Stefan Godot of Timmins, Ontario, noticed when he opened the cereal box that there were the words, "Please read the bag," written in black marker on the side of the cereal bag. It was a note saying the cereal box was the last to be produced at a London, Ontario Kellogg's factory before it closed December of 2014. The box says, quote, this is the very last bag of Canadian cereal for the Canadian market from Kellogg's, reads the message that includes the names of three factory workers. Godet said he had mixed feelings about the note, including a concern that his cereal had been tampered with. But then I guess that all went away and that feeling was then followed by a sense of admiration and respect. He said, when he saw the message, my emotions started changing. It led to a certain sadness and awe, in a sense, and it was a very odd feeling because I realized the significance of this final package from that factory. The Kellogg's plant, which had been open for 107 years before it closed its doors on December 5th, 2014, the employees who signed the bag also put the number of years that each of them had worked, one for 24 years, one 28, and one for 29 years. The one who had worked there for 24 years, name was Mike Cascaden, said he couldn't believe it when he learned that his message had been found. Four generations of his family had worked in that very plant. He said he couldn't sleep for the rest of the day. It was a whirlwind day of emotions, and it was both happy and sad at the same time. Apparently, Cascaden and Godet said they hope to meet soon. The Godet family still currently has the unopened cereal bag. So I thought it was kind of neat that they wrote, and if you actually Google online and look up for the Kellogg's note in a box or something to that effect, you'll see it. And literally, the cereal just wrote the note on
and
the
side.
And
that's where Nabisco moved to Southern Ontario as well. They closed the Niagara Falls plant. Oh, God, it's been closed a long time, and now it's like a big eyesore down by the falls.
Oh.
But, yeah, so that said that even Kellogg's can't make it in Southern Ontario.
Well, I don't know where
but the big shredded wheat building is still there, you know, because it's where shredded wheat was always made in Niagara Falls, and Triscuits came from Niagara Falls for a long, long time. But shredded wheat used to be called the Niagara Falls, you know, the cereal of Niagara Falls, and it used to have a little, on the box of shredded wheat, there was a little picture of the falls.
No.
Because they were made, you know, 10 short blocks, it was on 10th Street, 10 short blocks from the actual brink of the water.
Goodness.
Yeah, with the big wheat silos, and you could smell it when you got off the parkway and went down into the, you know, the falls part of the Niagara Falls.
Pardon me, yeah.
You could smell the silos of wheat and everything. It was always really cool.
Huh.
And how long did your dad work for Nabisco? Or do you even know?
He started there in like 44 or 45, 44, I think he started there. And he worked there till 91.
Wow.
Yeah, because, and we were, I was trying to figure out the other day, because there was, they had this great, you know, back within the days when you actually got retirement. It was your years of service plus your age. So like once you hit the 90 club, so if you were like 65 and you'd worked there for 25 years, you got the thing for 90. And his added up to like 110 somehow.
Wow.
Like 110 between his age because he retired 62-ish.
Oh. I was told there would be no math.
Yeah. I can't remember. He worked there for like 50 years and he was 62 or something. So it was a whole big thing about how far like he had made lot, it. Yeah.
Yes, Molly. The guy in my story's name is Stefan. Yes. Not to be confused with Stefan from SNL, but I get it.
I don't
get it.
What year was that, Al?
Probably something about your dad.
Edith, could you ask the question again, Edith, in the chat room.
Repost Kat Carlson. Repost it. All right. It's been a talking point of the week last Sunday. Most of the nation sprung forward in daylight savings time and losing an hour of sleep.
And really, John Oliver got it wrong on his show as to what it's for.
Did he fuck it up?
Yeah.
Well, according to this.
He was off by like 40 years, 30 years.
According to this, Arizona and Hawaii, to the nation's envy, do not observe daylight savings time. And for most Arizonans, it means we'll be on the same time as California, 3 hours behind the East Coast. Arizonans love this special privilege. And in January, a lawmaker proposed establishing daylight savings time and was met with shock and outrage.
Outrage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Representative Phil Lovis from Peoria quickly withdrew his bill from the House because we like our no daylight savings time.
Right.
And because of the real reason for daylight savings time is the reason why Arizona wants no part of it.
Yep. In Arizona, Maricopa County supervisors refused to accept the change. I'm so sorry. I skipped a... Daylight savings time started when wartime was established in the U.S. in 1918 to save fuel during World War I. Maricopa County refused to accept the change. In 1919, Phoenix and the rest of the state observed different time zones. So it initially started with just Phoenix being like, nope. Wartime, or daylight savings time as we now know it, was then reinstated in World War II. It went away after World War I and came back in World War II. And was brought back permanently in the Uniform Time Act of 1966. Arizona participated for one summer and then realized that's a terrible fucking idea to have extra time. Extra
daylight. Sunlight, yeah.
Yeah, let's have extra sunlight.
Let's keep it hotter later.
In the evening, right.
And because I always bought into the whole, like, it's for farmers, it's for this, I didn't understand what the problem would be. So then finally when Google arrived, one of the first things I ever Googled was like, what the fuck is daylight savings time really?
Well, and it actually...
and the implementation is because of World War I, yes. But the origin for the thought is a British thing from... his name wasn't Chamberlain, but it was a prime minister.
Okay.
I don't think it was the king. It was because when the weather is nice, make the day longer so that people can enjoy being outside longer because they were such shut-ins and there were so many diseases involved with, like... being in the dark and the rainy weather, that if you have a nice day, make it longer.
Get out, right.
And it was to keep people outside longer and enjoy a longer day, and then they found out they could save fuel if they did it. So I think the British played around with it for a while, kept going back and forth, and then in the war they did it. But it really was just, it was a nice sunny day idea of like, the weather's nice in the summer, let's stay outside a little bit longer, let's enjoy that.
Right.
And then they realized it. Because I think it was in the 80s that they tried it again. I want to say it was like 85, they did daylight savings time. There was 1 year right before I moved here.
According to what I'm reading, the last time we talked about it was in 1967 in a nearly unanimous vote where Arizona legislators agreed to opt out of daylight savings time.
I could have sworn we did like one, that they did 1 year here, and like halfway through they were like, oh, turn the clock back. That's fucking stupid.
Now, Indiana was in a similar boat and fucked around back and forth with different counties and different this.
Yeah, they
and
had fast time slow. Indiana did fast time slow time.
Right, and they got rid of all of that and just went on regular daylight savings time in 2005 and just unified all that in Indiana. And in that area, farmers are actually against daylight savings time because they say that changing with the clocks is considered unnatural and unhealthy for cows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Farmers are like, don't fuck around with it.
Well, then critters are always on their own cycle.
The farming thing is a myth.
Oh, and that's the biggest myth of all. That farmers were like...
Because everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's for farming.
They get up early to...
They get up before the sun.
Before the sun. So why would you want to make the sun later?
Right.
So now they're in the dark for another... They're wandering around in the dark for another hour.
And now the cows are fucking confused because now you're milking them an hour later.
Because And then one of the things that made me... One of the first things I ever Googled was farmers were like, stop blaming us for this retarded shit. Like, fuck you.
It's not a thing.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. But yeah, so for the rest of you, those of you that have joined us here in the chat room and listening otherwise, thanks for finding us at the right time.
What time is it where you are?
We don't care.
We don't care.
No, but they'll all start doing that.
And let me tell you, I learned to say that about 1987. Like the first, after the second change of clocks, I don't give a fuck where time it is where you live. I'll call you when I call you.
Right.
Answer your phone or don't.
It'll be
fine. I have in my bedroom, I have a digital clock that's connected to my Wi-Fi network, and it automatically updates all the time. And you can make it, you know, show you headlines and all this other shit. I just want local temperature and clocks. Yeah. So I have a local clock, and I have the one for my hometown, so I know just automatically. Oh. I always know what fucking time it is. Helps me every day. I know.
Yeah. Although, you know what? Sunday night, my phone forgot that I lived in Arizona and really kind of freaked me out. Or no, I guess it was Saturday night because I closed the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday night I got off work, and so it's Sunday morning, which is when you lose your hour anyway.
Right.
And I looked at my phone and I was like, what the fuck? How did it take us an hour to get... Oh, wait. My phone had just forgotten. It had me on Mountain Standard time and not Arizona time. Right. Had a mini little heart attack.
Little freak out there. I lost some time!
What the fuck?
Yes.
How long was I mopping that goddamn floor for?
God, those drawers just closed the bar take forever. Yeah,
and then, like, the further north you go in the summer, the later the sun sets, because I could, and that's the other thing, is like it's not just an hour difference between dark time here in Arizona and dark time sunset. Jesus Christ. Lost a couple brain cells.
Must have been a fever in there somewhere.
Yeah, because we were allowed out till the streetlights came on when I was a kid in the summertime.
Yeah.
And you know, as you get a little bit older and you start looking around and you start putting math together, I'm like, did we come in the house at 8:30 at night? Like, what the fuck? I'm like, I felt like we were out because it doesn't get dark till way after, you know, up in Niagara Falls, like maybe 9:30, 9:45. It finally starts to get dark. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in Paris waiting for that fucking sun to set over that goddamn bridge, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, people, I got places to be.
Oh, perfect segue. You said you're talking about London. A London man who was fat-shamed on social media for simply having a good time will be the guest of honor at a party like no other in Los Angeles coming up. It's a story of a good... It's the story of the good of a community overcoming the evil intentions of one person. On February 13th of this very year, an anonymous user on a message board posted a photo of a man dancing at a concert with the caption that read... Spotted this specimen trying to dance the other week. He stopped when he saw us laughing. Now, the photo soon appeared on the image sharing website, I think it's called Imgur, I-M-G-U-R, Imgur?
Yeah.
Sure.
Where the body-shaming attempt was met with disgust and an overwhelming community of support for the, quote, dancing man. Cassandra Fairbanks saw the photo, who immediately turned to Twitter and called on others to help her find the man using the hashtag, hashtag find dancing man, and organize something special for him. It felt horrible seeing that because I think we can all relate, Fairbanks said. More than 2,000 women in Los Angeles pledged to join Dancing Man for a massive dance party just for him. Now, the man, whose real name is Sean, eventually joined Twitter as @DancingManFound to thank Fairbanks and the others for their kindness. A GoFundMe page was set up to help the man travel to L.A. for the dance party, which has now raised over $35,000 in 3 days. The page admin said that the leftover funds would be donated to an anti-bullying campaign after they pay for the party. The LA Coliseum offered to donate its venue free of charge for this party. So I just like that it was some bitch posted on there trying to fat shame this guy, and everybody's like, fuck you. We're going to throw a party for this boy.
Yeah, it's all been shitty. Like, somebody went after Kelly Clarkson recently
for being heavy.
On TV.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, you know, settle the fuck.
But I love it.
Down.
He's getting flown from. He was actually. He's from London. When all this blew up, they found somebody had posted a picture. Like, I think I know this guy, and sure enough, it was him. He was in Kiev, and then logged in or created this account and got it all over the world. Everybody linked up and found him and figured it out. And then for the LA Coliseum to offer their venue, I thought that was fantastic. So good times.
Yeah, and he clearly gets around him. He's been in, you know, London and Kiev, and
yeah.
He's dancing for his life.
He's traveling. Something.
He's very busy.
He's very busy.
Very busy.
Whoops. I mean, right. We can't get too far in the horse because around the cross because of dark time. With after the actual number of Carney Wilson jokes that have been made, clearly
the number that we've made ourselves. Sure.
Right. Exactly. Since Carney. We've been fat shaming Carney Wilson since. Well, since birth,
the beginning of time.
It's just good sport, really.
And to thank us, she's coming to our pride to sing right here in Central Phoenix.
Well, if there was ever a year that I didn't give a shit about going to pride,
this is it.
Oh, this is it.
I'm super stoked. I'm going to be front and center, and by front and center, I mean adjacent to and working the whole concert.
Because you know all the
great.
I'll be right with you.
The straight women I work with, and some of the lesbians too, are all like, because the schedule came on, they're like, oh, did you take Pride weekend off? I'm like. I don't even want to be an earshot of Wilson Phillips. Like, no. What if one of them comes near me and starts telling me to hold on for one more day?
What will you do? Will I don't want to go on. Baby,
I'll probably stab her in the neck. Like,
what if they sat you down and told you stories about their parents from back in the day in the 60s?
As long as they didn't sing it, I don't care.
Okay, all right.
As long as those three don't sing, they can do whatever they host a talk show, enjoy a burrito. I don't care what you do.
What you do.
Tornado fries, whatever gets, just do not sing.
Well, speaking of people acting badly and being overseas.
Oh.
Two American women have reportedly been arrested for carving their initials into a wall with a coin.
I heard
inside
this.
Rome's Colosseum.
Can't believe people are that stupid. God.
Yep.
Yeah, that's.
Ignorant. Two letters, J and N, about 8 inches in length and scratched on a brick wall at the historic Roman amphitheater. The two women, both from California, reportedly snapped a selfie of themselves with their initials before they were arrested. Their names have not yet been released, but, you know, what a wonderful,
Dumb and Dumber.
Wonderful example of why people hate
bad
Americans.
American tourists, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a stereotype because it's true.
Because it's true, yeah.
Now, go ahead. In your story, does it talk about the fines?
It sure does. Okay. It sure does.
Because that's what I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, the American pair may now face a fine for aggravated damage on a building of historical and artistic interest. If one Russian's experience is anything to go by, the price won't be cheap. Last November, authorities in Rome slapped a 20,000 euro, which is approximately $21,000, 20,000 euro penalty on a Russian tourist caught also carving his name in the Colosseum. 42-year-old man was apprehended after a guard at the Colosseum saw him carve the letter K in a section of brickwork. After the police caught up with him, the man was found guilty of causing aggravated damage, fined, and given a 4-month suspended sentence. So the two American women are in for a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And deserve it, as far as I'm concerned. Why would you...
And at that point, I'm kind of down with public flogging, too. Like, all of a sudden, caning's back.
All of a sudden, caning is a thing. Thank God.
I just don't understand people who think that
I just can't believe they're not from Florida. Yeah, that's...
Well, we're not done with the show yet.
They might be Arizona.
What I don't get is, I don't get anybody who thinks it's cool to deface something. I just have never been that way.
No, yeah. You know what? And I'm on that same train. Like, I will do a lot of fucked up shit, maybe sometimes to a lot of people, but I don't really believe in destroying other people's shit and like, intentionally harming.
Like you know, like a brand new building gets done, or back in the day when payphones were put in, somebody inevitably took on the glass, would carve some gang sign or some shit in there.
Right.
Why? What do you get out of that? I just think it looks like shit.
Yeah, I get it. You were here.
Yeah. No.
Take a selfie.
Exactly, especially now that cameras are everywhere. Like, I kind of understand a little bit, like, pre-selfie. Like, this is your way to leave your immortal mark on the bathroom stall in the bar. Like, please, God,
yes. That's where I want to be remembered.
Classy. Right. But now just take a picture of where
somebody's
you were.
Dropping a deuce. Oh, my God, Sarah was here. Look
at that. Apparently, I wonder if she shit, too.
Apparently, for a good time, I can't quite make out that first digit, but God, the rest of the numbers...
Maybe if I just dial all of them.
Yeah, exactly. How many combinations is that going to be? Eight? Right. Seven, eight?
But I'm actually kind of excited for, you know, the Italian justice system and the hefty, hefty fine that goes along with that.
Yeah.
And so,
and then for them to start crying, we're going to be poor now. Oh, well, you should have thought of that before. Right.
Quit fucking up our 2,000-year-old shit.
Consequences, you fucking assholes. I've seen it so many times. Like, one of my first interactions with another American outside of the country in dark time.
Aaron, 867-5309.
Yeah. Was this woman just screaming at someone. And you could tell, like, the person that was on the other end of it was like, Louder English isn't what I speak, like,
right?
And just kind of like, and you just, I just picture Roseanne Barr from that SNL.
Ugh.
If I had this kind of power over time and space, what the fuck would I be doing talking to you?
Right.
And this woman was just screaming about something like, you're out of the country. Like, they don't give a shit. Like, you're...
Yeah. Calm down. You're not that important.
And now
turns
I would be
out
like...
in France, the customer, not always right.
Right, yeah. And I could just... Now, in my mind, they were yelling because there was gluten in their pancake or something in Greece.
Probably.
But it was just something completely ridiculous. And, you know, and you're in Greece, and you don't know what the hell, like, because they don't speak, you know, Greek's a dead language. You don't know what the fuck they were speaking. But the woman right. behind the desk was just kind of laughing, like, you're just going to have a shitty time for the next 2 weeks, lady, because you're going off about something. And you could just see it on her face, like, okay.
Right.
Next, she's going to keep screaming for about 20 more minutes. So anybody else want to come up and...
Can you move this shit show over here? Because I have people to help.
Didn't understand you when it started. Probably not going to understand you when it ends.
Maybe I'm a little bit European because that's how I deal with problem people at the bar too. Like, can we just move this over here so I can help them?
You just keep screaming
because
clearly my participation in your shout festival makes no difference.
My answer was not helping you. So let me help them in a legitimate way and then we'll come back.
Gotcha.
Fair point.
Yeah.
All right. I've beaten that. Done.
You're done.
That's all I got.
My deal.
It's your turn.
But I do have to paint a picture of like what a horrible tourist. Well, not a horrible tourist, but
are you a bad tourist?
No, I'm. Oh, okay. I think I'm pretty sensitive to what other people are fucking doing, mostly because I don't care. But the first time in France when I went to, we just walked by a Burger King,
mm-hmm.
and you know you do start to crave
American shit,
food. Like
right.
you want to hear someone speak English. You want to hear a word that mm-hmm. you've.
You know,
you understand, like you do get that yearning for, like, oh my god, I haven't heard cheeseburger in a long time. So we walked right. in, and everyone in the restaurant, and I don't know, it must have been a one day thing because I'm sure the people of France just hate me for repeating the story, but everyone in the restaurant was wearing the paper crowns,
yes.
and I thought it was fucking hysterical. So I got one, and I wore that crown for like the entire day in Paris.
Why wouldn't you?
I was the king of the metro, and I was like just yelling at people that I was the king. And I was like, okay, we have those paper crowns, but aside from 3-year-olds, no one puts them on. And I don't know if it was new, but it was right on the Champs-Élysées, and I don't know if Burger King was new and they were just trying to like get all of the Burger King experience they could because they were excited to have
Burger King.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're excited about something different. But oh my god, I just, that was just the funniest thing to me.
And that's fantastic.
I was a king of Z Metro and I may have been a little bit trashed.
May.
There's a possibility they served wine somewhere near that Burger King.
Very nice.
I'm the king of the wine.
Oh. I'm the king of the vineyard.
Her Royal Highness.
Well, Perkins. We'll go from the king of the metro to the queen of stupid shit. Sarah Palin, ladies and gentlemen.
Her new
video ad for the Sportsman Channel's Amazing America show shows the former vice presidential candidate hitchhiking in the middle of the desert. Well, however, as every Phoenician who's seen this knows, the right-wing celeb is actually standing in central Phoenix at Papago Park.
Yeah.
Palin's standing on one of the park's roads used most frequently by bicyclists and walkers. And if you saw a woman with that suitcase and a sign reading America on that road in central Phoenix, you might just think that she escaped from the Arizona State Hospital, which is a mere 4 miles away. For fans of the movie Raising Arizona, this might remind them of the viewers when you see a shot of miles of Sonoran Desert that's supposed to be Tempe, Arizona. Now, for a TV show that has well enough of a budget to travel across America, you think whoever made this promo could have found a real stretch of lonely highway, but they apparently figured that most of their viewers wouldn't know the fucking difference between the middle of the country's 7th largest city and a random spot in the middle of a desert wasteland.
Like, the river bottom's, what, a mile away? At least that's...
It would look, yeah.
I saw that, and I'm like, she's... A hot second from ASU.
Oh, yeah. She could see it from where she was.
Yeah, kind of like Russia.
Yeah. When you're in Papago, you can see right across into Tempe.
I just cracked up when I saw where that came from. I'm like, are you fucking high? And she is.
No.
Because she responded to something, this cunt-tard. She responded to something online, and I don't remember what she responded to. And she's clearly drunk. And it was all over addicting info. And her response is like...
Info.
Okay, either she's just enjoying too much cold medicine, which is, it's delightful, let's just say it. It's got a cool menthol flavor. How can you go wrong?
Sometimes you can get it in grape.
There is something wackadoodle going on in her world now. And I just thought, it's so she's on 64th Street. I wanted to put there, like, you're on a road in Papago Park. It's called 64th Street, Galvin Parkway. It's actually a fucking parkway, you dumbass.
Pretty sure there's only one road that direction. Anyway, so.
Yeah, there's only one road there.
You were on the road in Papago Park, as it turns out.
Do me a little favor, would you please?
Sure.
Check the connection on the end of that mic. Just let's just make sure it's in there solid. I keep getting a buzz,
stick
and I'm not
it
sure.
In. Stick it in.
Seems like you're right. See, it comes and goes.
Thanks for the encouragement.
All right. I think right now it's gone. So.
Thanks for that.
And I went with Dark Time.
Dark Time.
It's my Dark Time voice.
Now it's back.
Bastard. What the fuck? I can't believe I lost the word for sunset.
Dark Time. It almost sounds racist. It really does. In light of everything happening,
shout
at
out
OU.
To Oklahoma. Yeah.
Do you know?
It's not darky time. That's a whole different setup there.
One of my, like, for no apparent reason, most distinct childhood memories. Honest to God. Again, grew up in Salt Lake, home of the white people, right?
Yeah.
Swear to God, I must have been like 7 years old in the backseat of a car driving somewhere and my grandmother's in the car. And not an especially racist person. Like, you know, my family, pretty okay. You are who you are. We don't care. Come on in. You know, pretty nice people. And I swear to God, like, there was just a black guy standing on the corner of the street, which is not a thing that you see a whole lot in
Salt Lake.
Right. And my grandmother just, you know, calm as could be, was like, kids, look out the window. There's your color time for the day.
Oh!
No shit. Like, yeah, one of those things that just kind of sticks out.
Did you read, I think it was announced today about, and I use this term loosely, your friends in Utah.
My friends.
That have voted to allow firing squads.
I didn't. No, I have a happier news out of Utah for that.
They've been toying with that because, the best part, because there's some problem with lethal injection drugs. Because they tend to, sometimes they don't work, and they have trouble getting doctors that will administer them.
Well, because didn't they, and I may be just like repeating rumor that I heard from somewhere. I hear the buzzing too now.
Yeah.
It's weird. Is that coming through to like the people?
Yeah. If you hear it, it's coming through.
It goes to the people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
La who?
La raza.
Is that how to say the people?
Yeah. It means like the right. Unwashed, the great unwashed.
Oh, I love using the great unwashed. I say that all the time. I forgot what story I was telling.
Something lovely about Utah and firing squad.
Firing squad.
That's what we're talking about.
Medication.
A dirty rumor you heard.
Right. About, didn't, like, the effective lethal injection drug, like, come off the market somehow? Oh.
Sorry. My bad.
It's okay.
Yes, and that was one of the problems, that they're having trouble getting the
They're having trouble making an iced cocktail now.
Yeah, because the manufacturer doesn't want to be the person that makes kill people drugs. Like, somebody got a conscious.
Yeah.
But I love it, and I didn't realize that.
Well, nobody wants to be known.
It
for
is
that.
Right. Utah's the dark time place.
Sure.
Utah, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
That they just stopped firing squads in like 2004.
Yes.
Just a hiatus.
Yeah, I heard that today on the news. I'm like, what?
A 10-year hiatus.
Like, why not? Why not a guillotine if we're going with? You know what I mean?
And I kind of, since we're going to derail altogether, I kind of am on board with that because, you know what I mean, like. If you're going to kill me anyway, like, I'd rather suffer.
Go on now. Blaze of glory, is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, because allegedly, you know, firing squad, they're aiming for the head. It's going straight through. Whereas, you know, the stories that we've seen about lethal injection gone wrong,
right.
It takes minutes, even hours. And allegedly, I would assume there would be some suffering happening there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather one and done and be gone really quick. So I
one and done.
Right. One and
happens all of a sudden.
And how many people are shooting at the same time?
Isn't there?
And can I dress up like some character from Zorro?
Oh my God, yes.
How many people does it take to make a squad? Because it's a firing squad. Is there a number?
Because isn't there, in a firing squad, there's a limited number of live ammunition. Everyone shoots, and everyone's a sharpshooter, but most have blanks, and so nobody actually knows
who made the
kill shot. Right, so nobody actually knows whether they shot the live bullet or the blank.
I never heard
of
that.
I feel like this is a Googleable story.
Maybe I know too much about
that. Sounds exciting, like
firing squads.
I feel like maybe you Googled this before.
I feel like, I don't know, I read a lot.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you do.
I mean, sometimes reading is fundamental.
Speaking, not so much, but reading.
Sure.
Speaking, overrated.
Gotcha.
Have we mentioned that Marnie's not here?
Yep, a couple times.
As I just noticed.
Oh, well, you were sitting in her chair.
I know. Well. And then when I got out of it, I'm like, oh, look, like, there's nobody in that chair anymore.
The girl with the hat's not here.
Yeah,
that's all right. She'll figure it out somehow, sometime. It'll work out.
All right. That's all a good right. idea.
We got to come back in just a minute with what we call the drinking word. Some more headlines. We'll talk about all kinds of stuff. Al's going to try not to cough through most of his segment. No promises, though.
Yeah.
No, none at all. All right, kids. Everybody's in the chat room. Jenny, Dawn, Aaron from L.A., Harrison, my mom, Bag of Nope, Dr. Hey. Ben Carlson.
Oh, that's true.
So many people. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. Let us know if we don't already. Let us know where you're listening from. And if there's something you would like for us to talk about that we haven't covered, you'd like us to talk about, tell us. We'll do it. We ain't scared.
We'll talk about things we don't know about.
We do it all the time. Yeah. It's called Tuesday Night.
My next story I know next to nothing about.
It's exciting. Stick around for that, won't you? We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi again, everybody. Top of the 8 o'clock hour. We call it hour two right here in Central Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for joining us. This is The Show on Q Talk America. It's Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and me. I am Clayton McKee. Marnie Ryer is under the weather, not joining us this week. She'll probably be back next week. Who knows?
Allegedly.
Maybe not. You'll have to tune in to find out. But before we go any further, we must take care of some official business, and it sounds a little bit like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, we have to make it dark time now.
Oh, is that going to be our drink here?
Yeah, you...
Dark time.
You can't just play it off as I'm not having a stroke. You know what I mean?
That might also be the title of tonight's show, too. Dark time.
I do love dark time.
I like that. And sometimes I smell vanilla. Okay, you might want to get a medical attention really quickly.
I mean... Now there was some smelling toast earlier. I don't know what was happening.
Lots of stuff going on. All
they're
over.
Stroking out left and right.
I know,
dropping like flies.
We induce strokes now.
We induce strokes. That's comforting, isn't it?
Because of the dark time.
Because of dark time, exactly.
The dark time of your youth.
Oh, well.
Speaking of dark time,
everybody's done a little dark time in their youth, though. That's a good time.
Dark time again has come to the Clintons.
Oh.
Hillary Rodham Clinton has not yet even announced that she's running for president, but the spectacle of the Clinton years is unfolding yet again, touched off by the controversy over her practice of using a private email account rather than an official one while she was Secretary of State. That's right. Our Secretary of State was using her Gmail account for official business. And apparently that's a really big deal.
But they all... Because it didn't become a law till after she left. Didn't I read that it was 2013 that they made it official? Like...
Right.
It was recommended because Colin Powell didn't use one either.
Right, because it's a whole lot of freaking out over nothing, because at the time it was like suggested that you use the government email, and there was a time when she didn't even have a government email.
Right.
Like, yeah, but it's been...
I'm still with Bill.gov.
I'm still with Bill.gov. fancy. But I'll tell you what, CNN is all the fuck over this.
Oh, of
like
course they will.
Crazy. So it's not fantastic. Fox. Hopefully it's just... You know what? I wasn't watching Fox today. I had the CNN on.
Somebody usually talks about some stupid thing that Fox did.
Yeah. Sure. No, the reason that I looked it up and had really anticipated to ignore the headline segment and read it for later, but I thought it was a good segue with the Palin thing to bring it up now.
Political segment.
And see if either of you knew anything about it.
And I heard... Now, I slept through it, but I was in my own dark time. I heard that she did a 20-minute press conference today on it and just said, like, maybe not the best idea, but...
Right. Shit happened.
Yeah.
Nobody died. Get over it.
Did you see the SNL
skit? She wasn't hacked, although everyone else was.
Right.
But, I mean, since we're spying on everybody's email, like, we've already proven we can get into anybody's email anyways. What's the difference?
Did you see the SNL skit that they did about it?
Not yet. I haven't watched it yet.
I heard it, and it was very funny because she was... whoever's playing Hillary, one of the lines is she talks about, well, and here's this harmless email that was to my wonderful husband, Bill. And she goes in and read it along with me. Dear sir or madam. She starts this whole thing about scheduling time to meet and caress. It was very funny. It sounded funny. I didn't see it, but it sounded funny.
I think The View did. I saw it on the a clip of it on The View. They talked about it.
Who's on The View these days? Anybody anymore? Or they all leave?
It's still Nicole. It's
I do love Nicole Wallace.
It's Rosie,
so Whoopi's still there.
Whoopi, Rosie Perez, and Nicole, and then they have a guest host.
They're swinging somebody through all the time, right? That fourth person.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the year they're going to announce. I think if ABC cancels Cristela, which it looks like they're going to on Friday nights, that Cristela might end up being the last one. They might stick with a comic.
Oh,
sure. Yeah. Well, because you need a little comedy, because otherwise it gets really boring, which is why we stopped watching when Rosie left the first time.
Well, actually, What's-Her-Face was always funny.
Joy was amazing, yeah.
Joy was always funny, but Meredith Vieira is a funny bitch.
Yeah.
She has dark time all the time, and she's dirty. And when they hired her for the Today Show, I was like, do you guys watch the show?
Because right. Do you guys
she
understand
has
what she does?
She has a filthy mouth and a really ribald, if you will, sense of humor.
Oh, I don't even know what that means. I may have to Google that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's dirty.
You know, we're like a year and a half away from another presidential election, and the circus already begins.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
And but God, she still hasn't announced in the
right. She hasn't announced.
And,
at all.
And now because everyone is steering clear, I think that I think now it's become the accepted. What
I'm
is
pretty
that?
Sure
the,
everybody's just
the,
assuming.
The conventional wisdom is they don't want a primary. They don't want a primary season. They just want her. And it's kind of an anointing, which she may need to be primaried a little bit.
Right.
But that they're not, like, they might send up somebody fake that's going to stay in for, like, two debates. Because you get no debates. You get, but at this point, doesn't everyone either like her or hate her?
Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of got that impression from everything I've been reading about this. Like, everyone's just falling back to their...
It's all really assumed. Like, everything you ever read that has her name in it is just the presumptive, you know, presidential nominee.
But she still hasn't announced him. It's getting to be time where you have to at least announce because...
you got to start fundraising soon.
Which she already is.
They're already doing it. Yeah,
they're doing it
ready for Hillary.
Which is really fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I donated twice. What?
Already?
No.
And the people they're raising the Democratic for whoever comes up. But at this point, like, I think we need at least a fake someone or other.
We need to, like, go through the motions and not just be like, yeah, she's been our girl for.
And it's very strange that Biden is not. Biden is. It's just an odd situation that Biden, whose age I don't know, is he a year old? Is he.
Uncle Joe's kind of old.
Well, so is she.
Uncle Joe.
She's. And we've talked about this several times that now. There's a whole generation of people that don't think of presidents as being old white men.
Right.
Like, it's been 23 years, it'll be 24 years since Clinton was elected.
Wow.
We haven't had a president over 50 in a generation of voters.
Right.
So there is an age question to her of people being, like, now thinking. There's a whole generation that now thinks,
oh, she's kind of old.
Right. Well, old people can be president.
People know dark time.
Yeah.
Right.
And they sure do know their dark time.
And Uncle Joe sure is in dark time. That man is 72 years old.
72.
So he's he's 3 or 4 years older than her. Because I think she would be, I think she's 68 now or 67 now.
Same age as my mother. Yes. I think that's right.
Because I remember hearing that if she was elected, she would be 69 years old when she got sworn in.
Yes, Hillary is 67.
Okay, yeah.
Born October 26, 1947.
So she wouldn't be older than Reagan, but she would be an older president.
Pretty old, sure.
And so there's that ageism that's just, it's not because of any kind of, like, bad thing that's happening.
Yeah.
It's because a generation of people only knows three younger presidents.
But I think that whole, like, first woman president thing kind of Trump's on top of the age.
No, it does.
Thing.
It does. You know but I mean? But like, I think everyone pretty much already knows. There's no one that sees Hillary Clinton and doesn't already have an opinion.
Right.
Like, and this email thing didn't be like, oh, I guess I don't like her. I guess I do want to vote for Jeb Bush.
Which is why I couldn't believe it she was used an all day long.
She used an unsecure email. And then you read that Jeb Bush never had an official email either. And he's still, and he hasn't run in 15 years. But it's just, it's really funny when they tell you the double standard that they're using is like they're listing the people that Jeb Bush has never had an official email because he hasn't run for anything in like 16 years. So he can't address this either. He has no leg to stand on because he never had one.
Right.
Using his Hotmail or whatever the hell
he
was using.
And then Lindsey Graham, who's, you know, he's in charge of like the technology department of Congress, has never sent an email. Did you read that?
There's that. And the other guy, who's the other one? The one who doesn't believe in NASA or space exploration is now in charge of
charge of appropriations for space exploration.
Is it just a shell game and whatever name is under it? You get a department? You get a department?
Yeah.
What the hell is that about?
Yes, and that is how it worked.
It's asinine. Yeah.
It's madness.
And yes, the Clintons did just become grandparents, which she's going to milk too.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know that kid's going to be a campaigner.
I did a dance competition 2 years ago and had the kids run out. Like, fuck yeah, you trot those kids around.
Oh, yeah.
Ah,
sure.
Use them for what you can, especially if they're cute.
And it's not a family of lookers, so you got to get them when they're still, you know.
Get them while they're real cute.
Before the dark time
hits. And bundled
up.
Or the light time.
Right. Yeah.
The light hits, I'm like, ooh.
Before the braces and the crimping iron hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's,
poor thing.
It wasn't Amy Carter, for God's sakes. Come on.
True story.
Yes.
Carry on. What's next?
While I'm reading this story, would you swap mics and try to bring that one in? Just see if can it reach over there.
Of course it can.
And then you just use it only. Yeah, let's do that.
Look at the changes we're making.
See how this turns out for us.
Heller.
Oh, look at that.
Heller. Yeah. Hurler.
Heller.
Oh, much better. That fucking hum was driving me crazy. All right, here we go. An 85-year-old
plane
man
turned down a Hummer.
Dark times
for all. An 85-year-old man says his suburban Cleveland home has been pelted with eggs several times a week for over a year, and police have not been able to crack the unusual case despite stakeouts, questioning neighbors, installing a surveillance camera, and even testing eggshells as evidence. The homeowner and Euclid police suspect that the eggs were launched from a block or two away. Albert Clemens Sr. Said whoever is responsible has, quote, phenomenal accuracy, launching five or six at a time and often hitting the front door of the green two-story home that he and his late wife bought nearly six decades ago. The after-dark attacks, the dark-time attacks, sometimes sound like gunshots as eggs splatter on the aluminum siding, creating a residue that eventually strips the paint from the siding. He used to clean up the mess each time, but he quit because it happens far too often now. His insurance company will not settle the claim until the police catch the vandal or vandals, so Clemens is waiting until then to make exterior repairs to his home. He refuses to move from the home, which is on a corner and oddly just less than a mile from the police station. He says, I would live and die in this house, but it's been kind of a nightmare. He said, officers have not determined a suspect or a specific motive, though they do have their suspicions. Somebody with a fucking egg launcher, people. Somebody is deeply, deeply angry at somebody in that house for some reason.
Deeply, deeply angry.
According to Lieutenant Mitch Hauser, police traced the eggs to a local Amish farm, but fingerprinting shattered eggshells proves useless because egg proteins destroy DNA. Door-to-door questioning yielded no tips, and a $1,000 reward for information yet remains unclaimed.
Did the investigators ask the homeowner if he had ever pulled up behind the Amish buggy and laid on the horn real fast to make the horse shit itself?
That sounds like a good time.
Because this is what's happened. Yeah.
Oh.
The Amish eggs tipped me right off. So here's what happened.
Amish eggs.
Right. The homeowner probably thinks it's a lot of fun to scare the shit out of those horses.
No.
So you just pull up real quiet and slow behind the buggy. Like, they drive on the road.
Like you do.
Like you do in traffic. And then all of a sudden, when nobody's suspecting anything, wah, you lay on the horn. The horse. No, you didn't live in any Amish country.
I get what you're saying. I totally understand, but I don't know. I don't know about this.
I'm pretty sure. I just solved the case.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. It's like Murder, She Wrote over here.
Yeah.
Jessica Fletcher. Kat
You're
Carlson.
You're welcome.
The person or people who are doing it have remained very tight-lipped, apparently, Hauser said. I would imagine it would be hard to keep a secret of something that has been done hundreds of times and for nobody to step forward and to talk about it.
Unless you're Amish Unless and have no Amish. Way to communicate no. with
right,
other
exactly.
people.
Because they are not getting
No
the,
social media, no telephones, no nothing.
The news updates are not coming to them.
They're whispering about it in the cornfield.
Now, police have spent hundreds of hours...
There's a confession written on the back of the oven. Yes. The heater that you bought.
Yes.
The Amish heater.
Oh my God, that fireplace thing. Yes.
The police have spent hundreds of hours on the investigation, but their involvement doesn't seem to be a deterrent. Once an egg hit an officer in a foot as he stood taking a report of the vandalism.
What?
The egging has been rarer during cold weather, but officials believe that with the anticipation of, or the attacks will increase while temperatures also increase. We're not going to let it go, Hauser said. We will continue to put forward an effort until we figure out what's going on.
Because it's harder to aim after dark time.
Yeah, after dark time, yeah. Dark time does...
Hinder.
Yeah.
Hinder.
Now, here's why I only had a driver's license in the snowy parts for a short while. Because one of my favorite things to do... was, you know, when at the end of the winter when there's nothing but snow walls and everything's been plowed and there's no more sidewalks, so you have to walk in the street. And it would be even better now that I have a hybrid so the car doesn't make any noise.
Oh, because sneak up on you.
Yeah, but the best part is everyone's wearing, like,
hoods
and hats, and so their hearings. And you get up right behind them, and you lay on the horn, and you make them jump into the snowbank. Good times.
Yeah.
God.
That was so much fun, and I would try to do it to people I knew.
Yeah.
Because strangers might die.
I do that all the time to my family. Like, I'll be out, because I'm always first in the car for some reason, because I'm ready to go. Like, everybody else is still dicking around, putting on shoes and doing their hair, and I don't know what the fuck they do. I'm ready, so I'm like, I'm going to meet you in the car. So I go, and I get in the car, and the way that I park in my garage, it's hard for, like, the passenger side to get in, so I politely pull the car out and position it. And so as people walk across the front to go across, Sharon likes this. She likes it a lot.
No, she doesn't.
Because she's eyeballing me the whole time, going, don't fucking do
don't
it.
Don't fucking do it.
And the minute she breaks that eye contact, thinking that she's won,
gosh. No, and I would like lay on the horn.
Oh, yeah.
And just watch the people in their little snowmobiles, hoots. Make yellow snow.
Wow. Oh, special light time for them.
Speaking of dark times and criminal activity. A Maryland couple who was being investigated for allowing their two children to walk home alone from a neighborhood park have been found responsible for unsubstantiated child neglect by the state's Child Protective Services. That's right. A Maryland couple was being investigated for letting their kids, 6 and 10 years old, walk home from the park about a half a mile from their house. In a follow-up, as the case continues, Danielle and Alexander Mayative of Silver Springs, Maryland, were practicing so-called free-range parenting, a philosophy that encourages children to have some independence. In this case, it means they allow their two children, ages 10 and 6, to play outside and walk home by themselves. Well, state of Maryland, nay, nay, say
no.
They.
Mm.
No, no. Maryland Child Protective Services has accused the family of neglect, saying that unless they commit to a safety plan, their kids are going to go into foster homes.
Because everything's delightful, and there's no
right.
dark times in
there's
foster homes.
There's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these poor kids are in such danger for their from their 10-minute walk. Let's put them in a fucking foster home.
Are they walking at dark time?
No. You know what? I haven't seen anything. Oh, okay. I've actually been kind of following the story a little bit because it... It seems
trying
really...
to think of implementing it at your household.
Yeah.
No, you know what? And we kind of do. And our oldest is 9 right now. And I'm kind of like we go together to the park, which is literally half a mile from our house. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's through a neighborhood. And we live on like right on a main road. And if we didn't live on a main road, the kids would be outside unattended a whole lot more often.
Right, yeah.
But there's a whole lot of fucking traffic there. And I'm like, that's probably not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we've actually been kind of debating on whether or not they're old enough to kind of go on their own and, you know, like, oh, I'll meet you at the park or, you know, here's a watch, come home in an hour.
Right.
You know, and
here's a watch. This is these hands move. Do
right.
the kids not know how to tell time?
No, of course they know how to tell time.
Well, you know, here's a watch. Like, you're introducing it to them for the first time.
No, because I've bought several of them and they get lost a lot.
Oh.
No, there's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, no, those were the first two things that I taught the oldest was to tie his shoes and to tell time.
Oh.
I'm like, these are the most important things to me at your age right now. Let's do this.
I'd like tutoring in those two items after the show.
I remember there was a big age thing when I was young, you know, in the 1830s.
Right.
Me and Laura Ingalls.
Before she had a Wilder.
Wilder knee Ingalls. that you had to be 10 to, like, leave the eyesight of, like, the 9 million neighborhood people that were watching you. But at 10, we could go past... I could ride my bike past, like, the corner.
Sure.
Like, I could turn the corner onto another street. But 10 was the cutoff. Like, up until 10, I had to stay where everybody on the block could see me.
Right, stay on your street, sure.
Yeah. But after 10, we could, you know, we could journey the world. And by 12, it was like, you know, there's your bike. Try to be home by dinner and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe learn a signal fire.
I had to have been 12 or 13, and my younger sister and I were just latchkey kids from, you know, 3 o'clock till 7. We were home on our own and... cooking dinner and whatever, and inviting all the neighborhood kids over to hang out like we weren't supposed to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like you do. But anyway, this particular case, yeah, this is all that happened was the family was out and about, and they said, yep, kids go home or meet us at home, and the kids were walking unattendedly home from wherever they had been, the park or the neighbor's house or whatever it was, and cop pulls up, says, hey, what are you guys doing? Where are your parents? And the kids are like, oh, we're walking home. This is what's going on. And so the cop, like, picked the kids up, took them home, questioned the parents, reported it, got CPS involved, and it's a whole thing. Apparently, in Silver Spring, Maryland, leaving anyone under the age of 18 unsupervised constitutes neglect.
Hmm. Wow.
I know. And so CPS actually found the family guilty of neglect.
That is crazy. That's crazy times.
Right.
I mean, six... I do agree that 6 is a little young.
Yeah, but with an older sibling.
But in 10, you're right at the cutoff of, like,
right.
Okay, how far were they? How far were we walking? Like, how many dark places did we walk by?
Well, and I can't tell you how many times I heard, like, straight there and back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get it. But, yeah, so I is that the end of my article? Yeah, that's pretty much the end of my article. Yeah, they've been... Not fined or punished in any way, but CPS is certainly involved and will be involved for quite some time just for letting their kids walk home alone.
I do think 6 is a little... I mean, I was walked to school. I mean, the school was... You could see my grade school from my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I was walked to school, and I really think 10 was when, like, that was the cutoff for when I could, like...
Sure.
I didn't need someone to... I just remember that being a big thing with my bike and everything. With
double 10. Digits, and you can go to the next block. And
yeah, like, you could go to someone's house unattended.
Right. Well, and I... Sharon recently posted something about...
And I remember the only questions about going to someone's house were, like, do they have doors? You know what I mean? Like, do they have windows? Do things shut? Are you protected from the elements? Like, there was no, like, I don't know that... I don't know your friend's mother. Like, the one kid that I hung out with... I still don't know if my parents ever met Tim's parents, to be honest with you. Like, I'm sure they have,
sure.
But, like, it was certainly not an organized meeting of, let's find out what kind of people, you know, these are that, and not from my parents, because Tim was always at my house. Like, I'm sure the conversation was like, so what kind of freaks raise this thing? Because, you know, Tim's at my house, like, every day for 7 years. Like, I don't know if they ever...
Sure.
Maybe at the grocery store, they're like, oh, I think, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that kid that comes over all the time is yours. Like, I don't remember any kind of organized meeting of, like, oh, you guys are okay to hang out, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
All that weird shit. Like, I can't imagine my mother being... I can't imagine my mother being that sociable.
I remember my mother occasionally calling other parents.
I could rely on that, because I could always get away with saying I was at someone's house, because my mom would never call to find out if I was there.
No, I remember, like, my mom would call and, you know, verify plans, because I was perhaps known for maybe making a little bit more or less of a story when I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because my sisters were so good.
Sure.
Or pretended to be good so well.
Didn't get caught.
My middle sister.
Right.
And happy birthday to her. That my parents just assumed that I would be the same straight shooter.
Sure.
Not realizing that it was, you know, just all just lies, like... Yeah, we're over there, but we really walked to the mall.
Right.
But by 12, my parents knew we were walking to, and the mall was not close. The mall was at the other end of our little town. Like, that was a long fucking walk.
At least you were getting some exercise.
Yeah.
Focus on the
Look
positive.
At that. See? Look at all the good you've done.
God, when I think back to all of the time, the Yeah, we rode everywhere. We're all over the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
There were forts and woods that were uncharted all around our neighborhood.
Oh my god, the unsafe things that we nailed together out of shit that we'd pulled out of people's trash cans.
There was also a train track just down the neighborhood was on like on a here, and then you'd go down a hill, and there was a train track that came through multiple times a day. We'd go down. Of course, you put quarters on train tracks to watch the train just smash the shit out of them.
Well, sure.
And we just sit right there. The train was as close as your face is to
like
me.
Like brushing your hair
right
back.
Right there. We just sit right there on the train and go by and we'd just be
that
watching.
That was like the summer I was 14 that we would, I mean, those, and that was, and now, like now when I read books or I see movies about stuff, I'm like, we were gone. Like this was out in like the country part of Niagara Falls. Like this was, like it wasn't even Niagara Falls, and we had left the city limits into like town of something.
Township.
I think it was called Wheatfield or something like that was the name of the town. But we would ride our bike so far out and sit near these train tracks. It was very Stand By Me, if you've ever seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sit out there, me and Tim and this girl that he was, let's call it dating.
Sure.
And talking about Pat Benatar records and like, but it was far, far, far away. And like, even at this point, I like, even now as an adult, I would be like, if I found out my kid was that far away on a bike, like no one around, if anything happened, no one knew where we was and no one would find us. We were like out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Dawn is saying Wheatfield.
Yeah, Sawyer Road. Yeah, like way out there by train tracks, Dawn. And we were not doing anything. This was before I learned to do anything bad.
Right.
This was you know, pre-pot and, you know, most liquors.
Sure. Most.
Since I'd had a couple rum and
wine. Most liquors. Come on.
I wasn't packing at the time, but it was just really, to me, that was bad parenting on my parents to not ask. But it was summertime, and you just
went. You got up in the morning, you checked in
at dawn, and we showed up at 4:30. My family had dinner at 4:30 every night.
Mm-hmm.
No excuses, no stories. If you didn't have a job, we ate together at 4:30 p.m., every day of my life. Like there was,
wow,
that's fantastic.
And you were back at 4:30 and there was no 4:31. Like
mm-hmm.
we, and that was the one thing you were not late for was we ate at 4:30. Boyfriends, you know, my sister's boyfriend was there every single day. And you just knew like 4:30 was dinner time. And that was not negotiable. And you did not miss that for anything.
That's
like
fantastic.
You were back for 4:30 dinner.
That seems awfully early to me.
Well, it's because my dad worked midnight. So he had to go back to bed. And my mom worked like 7 to 3. She worked the morning shift, so it was the time. But 4:30 was decided before I was born, and it went on till my dad died. Like,
sure,
4:30 was dinner time, and there was I mean that was non-negotiable. That was the one thing in our house that was a non-negotiable. And even like a holiday meal happened at 4:30.
Wow.
So you would have lunch or something to hold you over while everything like, but you ate whatever that meal was 4:30, and it was sharp. Right in the middle of Mike Douglas. You'd have to stand up in the middle of Mike Douglas. And
oh, God. You only had a DVR back then.
And the TV had to be off.
Oh.
The TV was... There was no TV for that, like, half hour in our family. Like, no dinner.
That's good.
I mean, no dinner. No TV. Just dinner. And, I mean, that was locked. And if you had a job, that was the only reason. Like, when we got jobs, if you had to work at 4:30, that was the only reason you missed it. But people would show up at our house at 4:30.
Knowing
for
that,
dinner.
That
sure.
food was being served. Like, that's where we were. And we would leave pools. We would leave parties. Like, we just left and went and sat as a family at 4:30 p.m.
Which is actually a really nice time, because then you've got lots of time to go do other shit.
Mm. And then at 5, you're out of there and going doing something else.
Oh, Jenny, there was tons of talking. Oh, my God. It was bad ribald jokes. It was bad jokes and conversation and my dad telling dirty jokes and everyone talking about their day and screaming and yelling and fighting or laughing, and everyone was involved. And like the table would get bigger and bigger if Tim was over for dinner, or if my sister's boyfriend, future husband, but you came over at 4:00 and there was wasn't a cafeteria. It's my dad would say,
right,
it's not a cafeteria, 4:30.
My mom used to say, I'm not a short order cook. You get what I cook and you get it when I cook it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the general message. Here's what we're eating. I found out later that my mom was a terrible cook.
Yeah.
I remember mom saying about basically the same thing.
Because Harrison just told me, like, her, like, she doesn't like oatmeal because her mom couldn't cook oatmeal. And I was thinking to myself, like, how can anyone fuck up oatmeal? And then I remembered, like, my mom's macaroni and cheese was just atrocious.
Oh.
And to this day, I still hate macaroni and cheese because that woman just made it. I don't know what the hell she did wrong, but how she can take macaroni and cheese
just
and make it a dish that I couldn't even tolerate, I don't know. It's some ancient Chinese secret. It's some dark time in the Ruthie
the
land.
The world may never
skills.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a specific set of skills.
And macaroni and cheese was not on that woman's list. That was awful. My fear is that the rest of the world was using fake cheeses, and she was trying to do something with like something real.
Mm.
Like she was trying to use a real cheese, and that ship sank. That was dark times.
Dark.
Whenever that casserole dish came out, I'd be like, oh,
not that again.
So 5 o'clock, good. I'd be at the neighbor's house. My mother won't feed me. Can you have something to eat?
I used to do that after my own dinner. Like, I would eat. I was the bottomless pit child, so I would eat my own dinner and then go over to a friend's house, and they weren't quite done. I'd be like, what do you got?
Oh, I'd go to all
and
the...
And I'd sit down, and I'd eat a whole other plate.
Oh. I would just ask people, what's your mom making? Because, you know, I grew up in an Italian-Polish neighborhood.
Oh, sure.
So everybody's food was better than ours.
Yeah.
So I would always be, like, 5 minutes... And I would in my mind, they used to... My mom didn't tell me, so we were both much older, and she was sharing, like... the list of horrible things that I did as a child. But the worst one was that I would go knock on people's door and say that she wouldn't feed me. And I was a really, really skinny kid. And so it really looked like I hadn't eaten. And the Italian woman would be like, please come in and sit down to this. And I would just eat the pasta and swear to them that my mom won't feed me. And my mom, she used to cry. She used to sit at home and cry. Because she was so sick. Because she's like, everyone else eats it. And I was such a terrible eater that I just wouldn't eat. Frosted Flakes was one of the few things that you could sit me down to. Like, if I could hit Frosted Flakes for dinner, I would eat it every night.
Uh-huh.
But I was the worst child. I'm surprised that no one ever, like, beat me or, like, sent me out to pick. Because I just would not eat anything. If it wasn't peanut butter and jelly or macaroni, I was just like, oh, I can't
and yet you survived. Look at
and
you.
Got fat because I found bread. Because then I found out about, then we all found out the secret of Italian bread from DiCamillo's and that I'd eat that, like, by the loaf.
Nice.
Turns out peasant portions are what I was looking for. It was just the funniest thing. But I would go, and I would just go, I would kind of like sniff out the, literally sniff out the neighborhood. Like,
that smells
like pierogies. I'm going to go knock on their door. My mom loves pierogies. And then I was always like begging for money for UNICEF. Like my mom would sign up for everything, and she would give me the box and make me go door to door to collect money from all these women that were constantly, and they would always say, oh, Alfie, come on in and eat. Because I would say, what are you cooking? If I had ethnic parents, I would have ate better. But the white
Fair
people,
point.
Me and the white people were just not meant to live together.
Damn the white people.
down with the, where were the dark times? Oh, fish sticks.
I love fish sticks.
There were... oh my God, my mom got on this fish stick craze for a while, and those are filthy. And we like seafood, like, and we weren't poor. I mean, we did go through a dark time where we were pretty broke because we were like supporting 18,000 white people, but oh my God, my mom got on this thing that fish sticks were a real food. They were filthy. Those things were filthy. And then homemade french fries, which should never happen.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's like barbecue sauce. Fuck you. Don't make your own. Just go to the store and buy them. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? There's a reason why they have perfected this.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom would make that fish sticks and french fry combo. Oh, it was filthy. Everything was soggy and wet and, oh, God.
And I always remember we had to make oftentimes we made our own tartar sauce. Yeah, you whipped it together. Okay. Relish and Miracle Whip or something, and try to, I'm like, no, it's not the same. Not the same.
Gross.
It's like eating a hot dog on a flat piece of bread. You have to just wrap it around it and make it the bun. Yeah.
And I don't know what the difference is between enriched flour and enriched flour, but when it's shaped like bread, it is not a bun. These are not the same creature at all.
Not negotiable. Not at all. Mother would burn them.
Oh, sad.
Oh, the
dark times everyone has had.
Yes.
Sad.
Back to me, Kat.
Yeah. Do you have another story?
I have uno mas.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, and be right. Was Tim cute? Yes, Tim was really cute.
Ah. 32-year-old woman told police that she got naked and sat outside a Dunkin' Donuts as a dare.
Atta girl. Did she win?
Well, we're going to get to that. The Palm Beach Post reports that Shakara Martin was arrested Sunday near West Palm Beach, Florida. According to a police report, Martin told authorities the dare was a part of a pledge to get into a dance troupe, which, by the way, the dance troupe was not identified. Witnesses told police that Martin was offered clothes several times, but she refused to take them. But then she began apologizing when police arrived. She faces a charge of indecent exposure. Martin appeared in court on Monday and was released on her own recognizance. It was not clear whether she retained an attorney. There is no phone number listed, and it is unknown whether she got into that dance troupe or not.
Well, God love her for trying, though.
She was a looker, too. You can Google that and check that picture out. Woo! Dark times.
Indeed. I'm going to be saying that all week. Dark times, indeed.
Dark times. The dark time.
Next time somebody tells me...
You mean sunset?
No, the next time somebody tells me their tale of woe,
yeah,
which will be like probably tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
dark times.
Indeed,
sir.
I keep saying that phrase that you got me hooked on. Somebody will say something like, it's been a hell of a day at sea, sir.
Hell of a day at sea, sir.
I love that movie. Somebody recently posted about like Goldie Hawn guilty pleasure movies, and I was like, duh, Overboard.
Goldie Hawn had like 11
All
solid
of her
years
movies
of
were guilty, pleasure,
guilty
yeah.
pleasures. And not even guilty, but Foul Play.
Yeah.
When that came on HBO with Kojak, Bang Bang. I quoted that movie forever. Plus, it opens with a Barry Manilow song with a shot of the Pacific Coast Highway.
How can you go wrong?
But Overboard is one of the first movies that anyone ever asked me to change seats. Like, the usher came down the aisle and was like, you
need
to
move.
Because I had started to hyperventilate, and I just could no longer breathe right through that movie. And when the mom...
Is on the bed, and they stumble through the bed.
And the buh, 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 buh. I don't know who I am, but I'm sure I have a lawyer. She's not very nice. She says some really mean things about my wife's hair. Is that a wig? That's terrible. Every line of that movie. But the one that killed House Sitter. Oh my God, with Steve Martin. And when the father's a teacher and he's giving them the lecture about marriage and he can't stop being a teacher, so he writes it on the chalkboard. What do men and women think of marriage today? And she looks at Steve Martin and she goes, is he expecting a lecture? I don't know, does he want a paper or something? Oh my God. You are the Rembrandt of bullshit, or the Picasso of bullshit.
I think it's the Picasso.
The Picasso of bullshit. Every single movie. All of Me. No, that's Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
What's the fucking other one with her?
The War of the Roses.
Now that's
oh no,
that's Kathleen Turner. Oh, what the fuck? What's the other one? Oh, Protocol.
Oh,
I don't know if I know
where
that
she gets shot and she ends up being a government diplomat and she's walking the guy from Saudi Arabia up the steps and he's got the hat on and she's like, I've got the napkins to match your hat. And I love that movie. And Wildcats. Tim and I used to watch that. Was when I would go home and tonight go home from here, and he lived there for like 10 more years. We would get together and we would watch Wildcats together, and we would watch What's Up, Doc? That we would have one night together where we would like get a little drunk, get a little boozy, and watch both movies and just laugh our asses off to UGLY. You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. What? You ugly.
Dark times.
Wildcats is so goddamn funny.
I've got to
watch
that.
And Woody Harrelson is naked. He and
Well, that's a bonus for me.
And Wesley Snipes
down.
Are both naked in that movie. Yeah. No, that movie is so... Susie Kurtz is funny. Everything about Wildcats is funny. Okay,
I'm in. I'm sold.
Nothing better than Overboard, though.
Oh, no, they're just not.
A falsetto child.
I have a falsetto child.
Come on, guess this one's name.
Roy.
Travis. Sweet Trav.
Sweet Trav.
Oh, twin. I speak French. Do I know what I'm saying? I do know what I'm saying. I almost shit my pants watching that movie.
That is a great fun movie.
And if it comes on cable, I will call. I will
stop
call and
everything.
Lie to your,
yes.
I will lie to you. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I just developed a cold.
Right.
Because I have to watch it from beginning to end. And I can't. Yeah. I know every single line of dialogue and I have to do it.
Kat, you got something else you want to throw at us?
No, I got nothing right now.
You got nothing?
I got to read some more articles. I got a whole other segment later.
Oh, that's all. Well,
there's that.
Or maybe not. We'll see. Well, all right. Let's toss it over to Al Perkins and see what he's going to throw at us right here in entertainment.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's no warning.
There never is.
So in entertainment, The Walking Dead companion show still doesn't have a name, but it has a cast. And it already got renewed for 2 seasons. It hasn't aired one. So soon it will be year-round Walking Dead.
Yes.
I have more to say about the last 5 years. Bates Motel came back yesterday. The creator of The Simpsons dies. I'm mad at HBO, and the blurred lines aren't so blurry anymore. They lost.
Yeah.
So, exciting news. Hannibal comes back June 4th for its third season on NBC, which I think is on Thursday nights again. So, this is NBC's ticket to summer TV.
Oh, good.
Where Under the Dome and all those shows live, where they're doing their little... And now all these shows are like 13, 15 episodes. The 24-episode seasons are kind of dying, but Hannibal's back. Mm-hmm. Now, Brian Fuller that did it, and he did... I never remember the name of that goddamn show about the guy that made pies, and he could bring things back to life.
Oh, Pushing Up Daisies.
Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies. So Brian,
no up.
Brian Fuller has said that he has 7 seasons mapped out, and that if they get to do it, then season seven will be The Silence of the Lambs. But this year,
wow,
they're going to do Red. They're going to actually get to Red Dragon, because it's been based. Mm-hmm. This whole first 2 seasons has been based on like 1 page out of the book Red Dragon. But now in season 3, Will finally meets the Red Dragon. So we're finally going to have that character. Gillian Anderson, even though she's on 19 TV shows, has committed. She's going to be one of the main characters this season in all of her beauty. She just can do no wrong. She's just entered the pantheon of people that just can absolutely do no. There's no dark times coming up.
By the way, who's listening in China? I just refreshed the page of live listeners. We have obviously several from the United States, Canada, China, Brazil, all in the room. So hi, China. I don't recall,
and I don't remember Brazil. I know we've spoken to him before, but I can't remember his name. And India should be on there because Anand's been on
once before. Louise from São Paulo, Brazil, did listen
to
us.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know if it's the same one.
But he wised up. He left.
Oh, well.
He realized what the show was about and was like,
not so much.
I'm still hopeful. I keep his little name right here.
Yeah, I do. I would too. So, very excited for this year as Hannibal. And then my Michael Pitt, who you might remember from how the sexy dark times that I like to enjoy with him, from Hedwig the movie. Mm-hmm. And he was on the first season of, I can't remember, but Dirty Hot. So I love Michael Pitt. Anyways, he is not going to be back as Vernon Merger. Those are all the right noises, but it's not the right name. They've recast him as the one villain from the Hannibal books. Mm-hmm. But if you're not watching, it is the most beautiful, disturbing TV show. If you ever watched Pushing Daisies, and I can't remember what Brian Fuller's other show was, but he just makes the most beautiful horror stories. So that like every time they have a kill scene or the death tableau, it's you want to save it as art, even though it's like 3,000 knives in one person's body, or a human totem pole, or the one time the killer took all these people of different hues and made a color wheel. He killed all these people and he sewed them, the bodies together, to make a color wheel of people from light to dark. And it was, I mean, this show is so disturbingly gorgeous. Yeah. And if you have Amazon Prime, season 2 is now free on Amazon Prime. So
good.
You have till June 5th to get caught up. And, it's really disturbing and good. And if you saw the season finale last year, who's alive? It's all, you know, everyone basically died at the end of last season. So everyone
a whole new cast this year.
Yeah, the only person that didn't get like murdered was Gillian Anderson, because she was not in the scene where literally every major character was stabbed, shot, or thrown out a window. So I mean, an emergency precedent-setting surgery. Oh, that's from Soap Dish. After a precedent-setting, the brain surgery versus Soap Dish?
No.
That's the other movie that I was asked to, like, please vacate the premises. at the end where they go live and they do The Sun Also Sets live.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they do a brain surgery on the bar with a hacksaw and a thing of ether. The brain transplant to save Sally Field's life. Just fucking hysterical. And I still can't make it through that. The scene starts, and they're all reading off teleprompters, and Kevin Kline won't wear his glasses. And the disease that she has is some long German name, and he's already reading things wrong. Like, he can't read brain fluid. He's calling it brake fluid, bran flakes. And everyone's, like, reading his lines for him because he can't see them without his glasses. And then they get to this long German word for the name of the disease, and all of them are like, what? So funny. I'm doing it no justice, but you'll pee your pants.
All right, deal.
Bates Motel came back yesterday, and we're finally getting into how Norman is going to eventually kill his mother. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Psycho, mom's dead.
Right.
And sad members. Dark season time. 2 of Bates Motel ended last week with a really sickening kiss between mother and son, and I guess season 3, they now share a bed. They have their own dark times together. So we're like really getting, we're really getting into the twisted side of the Bates family history.
Sure.
It's one of those shows that keeps, it totters right on the edge of like too campy and I can't take this, like, ooh, that's good. And Vera Farmiga is just amazing as Norma Bates.
Mm-hmm.
And so twisted that she named her son Norman. Like, that was such a nice little, like, not in the original movie, like, that, you know, because they're kind of making stuff up, but the fact that her name was Norma and she named her son after her and their sick closeness. Mm-hmm. The Walking Dead spinoff set in L.A., it's going to start, like, right after, what they on the show, they always say shit went down or when it all started. Like, no one talks about, no one gives a name to what it is happened, but they always refer to it in that weird way of, like, well, how long have you been out here? Well, since right after the shit went down or right after...
Right.
Yeah, so AMC is doing 2 seasons. It's
usually it started, I think.
And I think her name is Carrie Coon. She played the sister in Gone Girl, and she was in The Leftovers. She's one of the main characters. It's got the cast. They don't have a name for it yet, but it's all set up. It started filming. It's going to start right before they'll do a 6 season entry like they did with the first season of Walking Dead, where it was only 6 episodes. They'll do their 6 episode season, then The Walking Dead will come on and do their half a season, and then I think the second season will be the 13. So the 13 weeks that you don't have The Walking Dead, you'll have this companion piece. And this is just to show what's going on in another part of the country.
Okay, so it's like same song,
same
different people.
Same disease, but different people, different part of the country. Instead of being in rural Georgia, they'll actually be in a big city, because the one thing that's never happened in The Walking Dead is they still have never hit a big city. They've stayed in rural Georgia, and the closest they've come is now they're in Alexandria.
Well, they went to Atlanta once.
Right. But you didn't find out what happened to anybody in Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Atlanta was overrun and empty. This is going to be like what happened in LA.
Oh, like how shit went
down.
Right.
Yeah. So you're right. They were to a big city, but they just went to they just stole some stuff and then had to get out because Atlanta was already gone.
Right.
And it was uninhabitable. Plus, it's a lot of money. And AMC's cheap.
Sure.
So everything's on the down low. And like this, one of the towns that they kept going to steal stuff is now the entire town is for sale. I guess it's like, it's one block and it has like 5 stores and a couple homes. And you can go on, I think it's for $600,000, you can buy this entire town in Georgia because it was...
Let's do it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I think it's funny. Oh my God, Soap Dish.
I'm going to check and see if it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh my God, Aaron from LA, The Fall, we've been talking about that. I loved that show. Absolutely loved that show. That's where I came up with the She Can Do No Wrong. And Jamie Dornan, he's the serial killer. Oh, my God. We're obsessed with that at work. That's all we talk about is The Fall. And it's 6 episodes. You're in and out. And I love a serial killer. for the love of God, Dexter's my favorite show. Creator of The Simpsons dies. He was one of the creators with Matt Groening. Is that how you say his last name?
Groening.
Mm-hmm. And the third guy, whose name I don't know, they created it. He was a writer for Cheers. He was a writer for Taxi. He wrote for the Tracy Ullman show. He helped create The Simpsons. He stayed for 4 years. I guess there was a lot of inner turmoil and strife between the 3 creators, main writers. He left in like 93, but he stayed on in like perpetuity. Is that the word? That he stayed an executive producer and got all rights to sign the deal, even though TV shows were not available on video yet. We were still like 8 years away from that even being a thing.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
He got video VHS rights and DVD rights, even though DVD wasn't really even a thing yet, forever.
Isn't that something similar to what the Disney does with their contracts? It's and any foreseeable future
right.
way and of distribution? Yeah,
any way you could possibly distribute this, we're going to own that too. Right. Even if you haven't thought of it yet, we're still going to pee on it.
Right.
So he got this deal, and he said he made like millions a year, even though he had not laid hands on that show in 22 years. Mm-hmm. He died on Sunday night and left a fortune to charity. He said he made so much money on that show that he could go broke. He could give all his money away in March and be rich again in July when the next round of
residuals came in.
But he left all his money to charity, and everyone was just saying that he was the Matt Groening was the Simpson family, that Homer and Marge were his parents' names, and the family was kind of based on his family, but the whole rest of the town and the whole rest of the tone of the show, going from mocking the Japanese filmmaker that made Ran to doing a horror story, were all him. He was the one that kept pushing the envelope and being like, it's a cartoon. These people can do whatever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
No limitations. Draw it. We can parody anything. We can mock anything. Mm-hmm. Do it. And that's what they said was the difference, was one wanted to write a little family comedy. And this, I can't think of his name because I didn't write it down. Alan, maybe something or other.
Sure.
Dead. Anyways, don't call him because he won't answer.
Deal.
But he was the one that said, you can go much bigger with this. You don't need to make it about a family of five. It can be about this crazy town and all the things they go through. And the writers all said we were writing for him. He was the person that gave us the vision to stay on for 26 years now?
The longest running.
Yeah, the longest running show. So, and everyone has given him a lot of credit. And even he said he was very hard to work with and he was a pain in the ass and it was best that he left. But so it was just interesting. And so you can look at all the different things that he's left his fortune to. And the fact that he just kept leaving his fortune. Even alive, he kept giving his money away.
Giving away.
And he was married to Jennifer Tilly from Bullets Over Broadway briefly. And they stayed friends. But there's no one, as far as anyone can tell, there's no beneficiaries to him. Or no one to bequeath anything to. So there's no one to really fight on this. Now this Jinx on HBO... It just has not worked out because there's too much on Sunday nights. But Jinx is this thing, and I think it has something to do with that Serial radio show that was on, the podcast that everyone was listening to.
Show with Clayton McKee?
Not this one.
No. About the guy whose wife was murdered and his best friend disappeared, or his best friend was murdered and his wife disappeared. Well, anyways, I think it's the same thing as this Serial that everyone was listening to. Well, now it's been this six-week special on... HBO, mm-hmm. But it's not on HBO on demand, and I just can't. There's just too much on Sunday nights. There's too much going on Sunday nights.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And I do not have time, but I'm I'd be happy to watch it when I have a free moment. I can't take one more thing on Sunday night, and I can't find other time to sun. It's on HBO Go.
It's on HBO Go.
But it's not on HBO on demand because I want to watch it on my
TV. Hashtag white women problems.
Yeah, it is definitely a white woman problem. We are definitely not in the dark times on this one.
I can watch it on my iPad, but I can't watch it on my giant television.
And now they're saying they're going to reopen the one case because of this documentary. And whoever this filmmaker is that's making this show, this Jinx show, he's obsessed with this guy and is just convinced this guy is a killer. And the best part about this whole special series is that Jinx, his name isn't Jinx, but that's what they're calling him, he's interviewed through the whole thing. He sat down for all the interviews with someone who thinks he murdered these two people, and he's being interviewed and giving his side of the story. So it's compelling. I watched one episode on Go, but I only watch HBO Go, because I don't have a TV in my bedroom, so I just bring the iPod on there,
mm-hmm.
or iPad. What's this thing called?
Pad.
Sure. My iDevice.
I did that for the very first time last night. I totally snuck into bed after Sharon was asleep and was watching TV.
So I don't really want to watch a whole TV series on a 10-inch screen. I'm not poor. You know what I mean?
Sometimes it's just inconvenient to get out of bed and go to the couch.
But I'm kind of relishing the fact that I can stand up. So I'd like to.
I've actually watched TV on my phone because I won't get out of bed.
If you ever watch one of the Batman movies on that phone, I will come to your house and beat you.
I won't.
You're going to get the Wilson Phillips treatment.
No, I was watching
Dark Times.
Broad City or something.
All right, that's fair. No. Broad City's small screen appropriate.
That's just funny.
Rape, fire. Fire, rape. Fire, rape.
I'm not that far. I just started season two.
Oh, they're only on season two. They get trapped in a boat. They get locked into the food supply room of the boat because they're stoned and they want to go eat.
But
then they get
stoned.
Locked in and they're trying to get help. So she starts yelling rape, and he's like, "Why are you?" And her boyfriend's like, "Why are you yelling rape?" And she's "Well, I heard that people show up." He's like, "No, it's if you yell fire, they show up to help someone that's being raped." She's like, "Fire! Fire rape! Rape fire!" And she's just standing at the window. It's so wrong.
That show's killing me. I love it. It's only 30 minutes. I don't want to dedicate a whole hour to a show. Scandal can wait, whatever. Oh, Broad City, 30 minutes.
And I end up just laughing my ass off. And I'm deeply ashamed at how offensive it is, but I love it. So that's Jinx, and I'm mad at HBO On Demand, and I haven't written my strongly worded letter yet, but I will.
It looks really interesting. I Googled it, and the very first thing that comes up is an article that says, did HBO's The Jinx just solve a murder case?
Yeah.
Like, what?
And the fact that this guy, whoever he is, and he's a little bit of a narcissist, takes one to know one.
What? I took that quiz once, too, and I scored very high.
Yeah, I did, too. Loves the sound of your own voice. So anyways.
So much so it's amplified through headphones.
I know, exactly. Is there a crow loop here? Is it dark? I don't want to say crow. So then the last thing is Robin Thicke and Pharrell. And it's been a shitty year for Robin Thicke.
Poor Robin. Talk about
shitty Canadians. They lost their court battle with the Marvin Gaye family, who just had to point out that your song kind of sounds like our song.
Exactly kinda. Like our song. Yeah.
And right. It wasn't one of those things where it was inadvertent, like, because, like, Sam Smith has never stood up and said, I love that unbathed Tom Petty man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And most people are like, Tom who? You know, I don't have to live like a refugee.
Right.
Okay?
Wow.
Free-falling? Are you free-falling?
Free, I am. When I look at his dirty fucking hair, it's dark times. Wash your goddamn hair and take that hat off. But he seems lovely.
Sure.
So you could see where, like, maybe you haven't heard of that. But when Pharrell and Robin Thicke are listing Marvin Gaye as one of their main influences, and then they write the song that's clearly aping, and it's not Let's Get It On, but I can't think of the name of the song that...
I heard it three or four times today, the name of that
the
song.
The name of that song. It's not Let's Get It On.
No.
But... because I think Let's Get It On. Yeah, that is Marvin Gaye. Let's Get It On. That song. Oh, that's a song to fuck to. If you want to have dark times with somebody, you just put on Let's Get It On. You might do it.
Blurred Lines.
Right.
Yeah,
but what's
we know that. What's the Marvin Gaye song?
Oh.
No, duh.
I'm like, wait, what? Gotta Give It Up.
Gotta give it up.
I'm just splurting out whatever Google tells me to.
Okay, can I put on a condom before you start splurting things out at me? So that's the whole thing. So they lost the court battle today, and it was like over $7 million that the family of Marvin Gaye gets for this. And I just feel like anytime you can give Marvin Gaye's family $7 million for all the joy and sex he's brought to the rest of the world, you got to give it up. You know what I mean?
It's certainly not like Pharrell and they're hurting for cash anyway.
Fork it over. But sexual healing sped up my puberty by about 5 months.
For real.
What should have taken a long period of time happened in a 3-minute song. get up. You know what I mean? Like, I was done. Like, I was just staring at the radio like, I don't know what he's selling, but I'm in and I want it to be of a nice dark berry.
One of the things that I heard on, got that, sorry. One of the things that they were saying on the national news on the radio I listened to earlier, he was kind of making a commentary about the whole thing that he suspected that they did this and didn't think that the Marvin Gaye family would have the backing to step up to this and make it a deal. And they were proven wrong.
It's called an attorney and the law.
Oh, right, yeah. And that really is what it...
They thought they could get away with it.
They thought they could get away with it. And it just, ugh.
So now, I wonder from now on, like they did with Sam Smith's song, where all of a sudden, you know, Tom Petty gets writing credit for it. Are they going to rebrand this? Not rebrand the song, but are they going to give writing title or something?
They will. And any awards given out will like go backwards and have to be awarded if it was given.
If it had won
like best song, which because of the Prince controversy from many years ago over the Nothing Compares to You, that it got Song of the Year, where it was nominated for Song of the Year when it was a song that was really written like 6 years prior.
Okay.
That it really isn't a song of this year. So if it had won something like that, they would have to take away any awards given to it that would like it was an original composition from this year when you're really stealing from an older song.
Oh.
Because the Grammys wants to be very very up and up about all that stuff. But I don't think it actually, except for money, I don't think it won anything.
Okay.
Because most people honestly probably were like, yeah, that's a Marvin Gaye song.
Oh, totally. Sure. What?
And unless you listen, and the song that Sam Smith, he claims inadvertently stole from, was not a very popular song. And it wasn't until like you heard that on a at your dentist's office or on an elevator that you were like,
God, that sounds familiar.
You're like, oh yeah, I know
heard
that
this
song
before. Yeah,
right.
And that's why they agreed amicably to be like, well,
That's how I feel about Tom Petty, like, existing in general. Like, until somebody says it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
He is alive.
He was a thing.
And if you two had better lawyers, Coldplay would give every dollar they made up to a certain point to them, because every time I heard a Coldplay song, I'm like, this is just a cheap knockoff of U2. Like, this is like the poor man's mildly fucktard version of...
Watch this. 2 weeks from now, U2 sues Coldplay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and I mean, there is just no getting around Marvin Gaye's sex. That sexual healing, I cannot stress that enough. Like, I just remember staring longingly at my radio being like, what?
Ooh. Let's get it on? Sexual healing?
Yeah, I was not. And Barry, I mean, I was a little kid listening to my sister's clock radio when Barry White sang Not Never Gonna Give You Up. But there was some song that Barry White sang.
Barry White.
That I just remember laying there as like an 8-year-old being like, I don't know what this means, but I hope to one day find out.
I can almost hear it in my head. I just can't think of what it is.
I'll Google it.
You're the first, the last, the blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my first, yeah, my first, my last, my everything.
There you go.
I'll get in line.
Whatever he's selling, whatever this deep voice fucker's selling.
We'll come back and try to describe more songs that we don't know the names to in hour three. Stick with us. Join us in the chat room. Thank you all for listening from around the world. It's Q-Talk.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh my gosh. Hello again, everybody. It is the top of hour three for us here in the heart of Central Phoenix. I am Clayton McKee, sitting alongside right now Kat Carlson.
Dot, dot, dot.
Al had to step out and hopefully not die from coughing. Don't die, Al! I think he'll figure it out somehow. Hopefully he'll be back with us for the rest of the show. We are again coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you very much for listening. For wherever you are, my God, there's so many people in the chat room. There's like 13 in there.
Chatting up a fucking storm over there.
Singapore, India, Brazil, China, Canada. Of course, all of you from the United States, all listening to the audio-only stream. Thank you all for being there. He hasn't popped up in the chat room yet that I've seen, but I think Tomo from New Zealand is listening somewhere.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. Are you alive? You going to be okay, Al? Going to make it?
Yes. And the song that I was thinking of was Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Baby. As many times I've given love and made love. Oh, my God. I just remember laying there listening to my sister's clock radio being like, I don't know what he's talking about, but when I find out, I'm doing it with him first.
In that shrill, shrill voice.
Yeah.
Him
first!
And Barry White was a big boy. He was a full size.
And for those listening at home, just imagine what my voice sounded like before it changed.
I do.
You think he sounds like a girl now?
Yeah. I don't know who that man on the radio is, but I gotta have him.
God, all of a sudden he's Minnie Mouse. What the hell is that?
As high as I could go. That's all I got.
Like when Karen does helium on Will and Grace and it doesn't affect her voice at all. That was me.
Yo, that's kind of true. I like that.
A falsetto child.
Oh, my God. we got to spit out. Kat Carlson has just spit beer. What did you get it on? Everything?
That was worth everything. Beer nose beer. Have you met?
Wow. God, Kat's eyes are red now. Woo! My God, Kat. I have never seen her laugh like that. Oh my God. She's crying.
That falsetto bit gets me every time.
you're just never a falsetto child. All these years later.
Every time.
Overboard's still funny.
Oh. Oh.
Come on, honey, try. Roy.
Oh my God. Molly used to go on and on and on with quotes from that movie too. And just
I was a short, fat slut. Did I just walk downhill? See, honey, it's all coming back to you. Tell me something about myself, something that isn't horrible. Oh my god.
Oh. Oh, one night we're going to have to stay after and we're going to just watch Overboard in its entirety. I have not seen that in a long, long time.
Well played.
Thank you. Well done.
Are you done with your entertainment section, Al?
I can't get enough of your love. The dark times with Barry White.
Oh, I don't know what.
I like it when she goes buh, 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 buh.
Oh, not the water barrel again.
Oh, we should have a Where Are They Now and put that cast back together. Oh my gosh.
Well, those still married. They're still not married. Yeah.
Right. No, but I mean, like, all the kids that played in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where are all them today? Have you regained composure, Kat?
I mean, did I ever have it to begin with?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure. Allegedly, you did. And we'll see how this turns out. I don't know.
Play the shit show. This week with Katie's intro music. I don't know. Sports and other stuff. I've got absolutely no sports, but I want to make it very clear that I pretend to be Dr. Ben Carlson with an L, not Dr. Ben Carson with no L.
Yeah.
Mormons finally get it in Utah.
Ooh, good for them.
Lesbians rejoice you can almost reproduce. And gay nerds get a new gay character in Star Wars. Very exciting things have happened. That's all I got.
All right.
So it's been cracking me up every time I look at any news source. Because Dr. Ben Carson allegedly thinks he's going to run for president.
In prison.
Chief of fucktards right there.
He's making you feel good about sucking dick for a cigarette.
For real.
Wow. Okay.
It was one time I was 17.
Exactly. I don't even smoke anymore.
It was dark times.
Yeah, I almost spit whatever I was drinking the first time that I saw the headline, too, about how Dr. Ben Carson is not okay with gays. Presidential hopeful Ben Carson apologized Wednesday night for saying being gay is a choice, following a backlash over his assertion that prisons are evidence that homosexuality is an option.
Yeah.
What happened? In a recent interview on CNN, I realized that my choice of language does not reflect fully my heart on gay issues.
His heart on gay issues?
Hard on. Oh!
Right. Oops,
thank you.
Oh. Dr. Ben Carson is a retired neurosurgeon and a Republican.
No.
He's weird.
I know.
Weird.
They had to have one black guy. They had to have one dark time.
Right. They had to have dark time. They had to have gay time.
Yeah, just the one.
They had to have woman time. And then they're all sold up. Carson has launched a 2016 presidential exploratory committee earlier this week. He has a faithful following among conservatives and is doing better in some public opinion polls than some better-known Republicans seeking the White House. So what I really hope happens is that he actually gets kind of far in the process, because then I will just laugh incessantly and start introducing myself as Dr. Ben Carlson. I will just start impersonating a Dr. Ben Carlson. Not this guy, because he's black. That'd be weird.
The stretch for
right.
you.
A white woman impersonating a black man. That's kind of offensive in a lot of ways.
I'm not saying it's not possible.
I mean, I know some people that are good with makeup. Let me see what I can do. Goodness gracious.
And the best part about this is Dan Savage is back, and Dan Savage is the one who, well, close to a decade ago, probably 2004, went after, oh my god, Santorum.
Okay.
Because Santorum said all those, well, he continually says horrible things about gays.
Continues to say horrible things.
But his first round at, I think he was trying to primary Bush at the time, said the things about gays, and they were really offensive. So Dan Savage realized early in Google, like, just how bad you could get it. So if you Google Santorum, it's the filthy mix of semen and fecal matter that is the byproduct of gay sex.
Yeah.
And he made sure that if you Googled Santorum, that's what came up. Like, he
pushed that,
He got that going so hard. So now, Dan Savage, and Savage Love, is that his
I don't know.
Blog? Really, really funny guy. Very often on Bill Maher. So he's gone after Dr. Ben pretty hard, and he's like, then you need to suck my dick. Like, right now, if it's a choice, then you need to choose to suck my dick.
Well, because what he actually said, he was asked by Chris Cuomo if he believes that gay was a choice, and Carson replied, absolutely, because a lot of people who go into prison straight. When they come out, gay. So did something happen while they were in there? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
That's his scientific proof for why being gay is a choice, because some people
that being held captive
right.
might change your mind on something. Like getting laid once in a while, you might like
being denied.
Go to the dark side during
freedom and sunlight.
A white power meeting.
Praise allegiance to the flag, no matter any flag they offer.
Yeah. But it was just so funny.
A falsetto child?
My invitation wasn't that far off.
Yes, please. Falsetto child?
Best part is, this man is a scientist. See, we all know that the American Psychological Association and other medical groups have concluded that homosexuality is not a matter of choice and is not a disease. This man, Dr. Ben Carson, gained notoriety as a surgeon from his work separating conjoined twins. And, like, he went to, he's educated. He went to school. He is of the medical profession who has decided that, not decided, but found truly that.
A neurosurgeon.
Right. He's a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
He's a choice because of prison.
Yeah.
I kind of want to vote for
it. So does that, if you use his theory,
even
if you
go in gay, science, I'm going to go with the least scientific thing of all.
Right. Yeah.
Using his theory, you go in gay, you come out straight? Is it, you flip whatever you
want?
Oh, yeah. It's a conversion.
Got it.
That's fun.
No, I'm just saying.
I think somebody's watching Orange is the New Black too much.
He might be.
Like, if I go into prison, there's a chance year three I'm going to enjoy toilet wine.
Yeah, so
I'm going to fight it for the first couple years, but then eventually it's going to be like, well, it smells a little bit like ketchup. Let's try it.
What the fuck?
Toilet wine.
Oh, okay. I stopped listening like halfway through and came back. It like, it smells a little bit like ketchup. And was like, what?
Your ass. How's that? How's that for dark times?
Oh, I mean, sometimes.
He's a doctard.
He's a doctard. There you go. Well played, Jenny.
Well done, Jenny. Yeah, you know what? And like they all do, he said the dumb thing and then they were like, oh, well, dumbass, why are you talking like that? And he says, I answered a question without really thinking about it thoroughly.
Yeah, because I'm a doctor.
That's what you do.
I deeply regret my statement, and I promise you, on this journey, I may err again. But unlike politicians, when I make an error, I will take full responsibility and never hide or parse words.
So I want his campaign to say, Dr. Ben Carson, I promise to fuck up big. I promise you a shit show the likes of which you've never seen before I land on a topic.
I feel like we should write him a letter and tell him that. I'd be like, your new slogan needs to be Dr. Ben Carlson for president. We're going to fuck shit up.
Yeah, big. We're going to land on so many wrong answers before we get one right.
Yeah. I love his Facebook rebuttal. It says, in a recent interview on CNN, I realized that my choice of language does not reflect fully my heart on gay issues. I do not pretend to know how every individual came to their sexual orientation. I regret that my words to express that concept were hurtful and divisive. For that, I apologize unreservedly to all that were offended. I'm a doctor trained in multiple fields of medicine who was blessed to work at perhaps the finest institution of medical knowledge in the world and still talked like an asshat.
Wait. Yeah. Parenthetically.
I'm paraphrasing here.
Parenthetical responses provided by Dr. Ben Carlson.
Some of our brightest minds have looked at this debate and up until this point there have been no definitive studies that people are born into a specific sexuality. We do know, however, that there were always born male and female. And I know that we are all made in God's image. There it is.
And as RuPaul says, born naked and everyone does and drag after that. What does he say?
Everybody's born naked and everything else is drag.
Yeah, everything after that is drag. He was on The View yesterday.
Yeah, he continues to say he supports human rights and constitutional protections for gay people and have done so for many years. Supports civil unions and have done so for many years. Support the right of
individuals. So he'll never get the Republican nomination. He just apologized for bashing gays.
Right.
Like Santorum's going to be halfway up his ass making a fecal mixture of
I know
semen and raisins.
He goes on to say that marriage is a religious institution. And again, to reiterate that he's not a politician.
And again,
that's going to be his shtick. I'm not
marriage,
a politician.
Not a religious institution.
No, it's a property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a civil institution, sweetheart. I knew you promised to fuck up big, but not in the same sentence. I was hoping you'd wait.
No. Well, I mean, it is three paragraphs down.
All right. So okay. He meant later in this briefing.
Yeah.
He's an asshat, though, this guy.
But he believes it's his obligation to learn from his mistakes and to treat all people with respect and dignity.
So he'll never get the Republican
nomination.
He's never
going to be president.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not around the Republican ticket. That phrase just don't fly.
Either way, rest assured that the show with Clayton McKee will be closely following Dr. Ben's presidential bid. Yeah.
And whether or not he sucks Dan Savage's dick. Because I feel that's news.
I feel like that would be news. I feel like that would be a good thing.
I don't think I want to watch a videotape, but maybe. I don't know. Catch me, you know. Ask me right about here.
How can you know that it really happened if you don't see the tape?
Show me on the bottle where you want to watch those two have sex.
We already talked about if you can't see it and or touch it or, like, it's not real unless you experience it, right? So you're going to have to watch the tape. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
There it is. So we're going to move on from Dr. Ben Carson. I have a hard time not saying my new last name, Carlson or Carlston.
Carlston, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I need to change that in the chat room. I'm now Dr. Ben Carlston.
We'll alert the media.
My new husband already did.
She's taken a wife.
All right, to happier gay news.
You're still the butch one. It's amazing.
Duh.
By
a lot. Have you met me?
I met him.
Well, there's that too. That helps.
Low bar.
In happier gay news, the Utah State Senate passed an LGBT anti-discrimination bill on Friday and has received widespread support from both gay and transgender rights groups, as well as officials from the state's populist religious community.
Wow.
I know.
Well, the Mormons are busy mopping up that mess.
Who knew? No, the Mormons are all in favor of it. The Mormons are loving it. Because, as it turns out, the Mormons realized that, they've been a persecuted peoples, too, and maybe it's all kind of the same.
That's what I mean. They are busy mopping up the mess of Prop 8. Once they realize that whole, like, our donor names have been published and everyone knows that we persecuted people.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They're now, the Coke, have you noticed Coke Brother commercials? I swear to God, these people are listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Coke Brothers now has commercials how they're like, we help people.
Yeah.
How? You know, it's a very vague commercial as to what the Coke company does. Not Coke, K-O-C-E, but, or C-O-K-E, but the Coke, the evil empire.
Yeah. Right, I know you're talking about.
That now they have commercials on, like, CNN about, like...
I have not seen these commercials.
Because CNN is where the independent voters kind of dwell. If you're a hardcore liberal, you're watching MSNBC. If you're, you know, right-wing, you're watching Fox. Mm-hmm. And so, like, all these people, like, they do pro-fracking commercials on CNN now.
Yes, they do.
That's where everybody's buying time. Well, now the Koch brothers have a commercial on there about their very vague industry, but they're big with people and they love everyone and
they're helpers.
Up with little, you know how the Walmart commercial is never about anything Walmart is selling; it's the dark type person,
yeah,
saying he's not being trampled on and killed by the man and doesn't use food stamps.
Like, I became a manager thanks to Walmart.
Yeah, my God, I went to a public school. I mean, that almost sounded racist, and I did not mean it like that.
Dark times.
I was in one of the. I was not going to a dark time.
There. Oh, dark times.
So it really is funny that these new commercials now address these very specific problems of PR, and now the Mormon Church is like, oh shit, we come off as like intolerant and awful because everyone knows that we were intolerant and awful to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We just change our minds every 30 years on a new group of people that were, you know, it used to be black people.
It was women and then it was black people.
and Native Americans and then it was gays. Right. So every time that it comes up again that you're just fucking evil, the Mormons are like, oh, we gotta take that back. The prophet's back! Prophet's back! No. Prophet said we're okay with gays. You know what I mean? I couldn't find it. I needed Marnie for a bell. But it's just so funny how concerned about P. Like, they're better than the Catholic Church.
Oh, much.
As soon as somebody realizes, like, they've been bashing and, like, raising money and growing pineapples to, like, subjugate a certain people, they just, any light, you just shine a light on those people and they scurry like rats.
Mm.
Love to my Mormon friends, but it is so true that as soon as it came out, like how anti-gay they were and how like vehemently and evilly anti-gay they were, oh my God, now they've got a billboard at every corner.
Oh yeah, all of a sudden they were embracing and there were pamphlets sent out on how to embrace your LGBT relatives and how to address it. Like the Mormon Church attacked the shit out of this. They were like, nope, here we go.
Yep, we're done.
We're on board. We're in.
Somebody found out how intolerant we are about yet another group.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, I read it as kind of a little bit encouraging because in the state of Utah, like, the Mormon Church does run a fair amount of the government. And the anti-discrimination bill was unanimously approved by the Republican-controlled Business and Labor Committee. Then it passed the state Senate in a 23-5 vote. It's headed to the state house and is expected to pass with flying colors. And the governor's already behind it. Like, everybody's all about it. Now, there is...
Because those people fall in line.
They sure do.
When they get their marching orders, oh boy, those pineapples get grown for a whole nother cause.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but still don't support, if you go to Hawaii, don't go to the main pineapple place in Oahu. Because that's the one that funded all of the anti-gay stuff.
Fuckers.
And it's not Dole, but I can't think of who it is. But they have the main luau, and that's when they want you to go to. But all that money was funneled immediately to anti-gay causes.
Yeah. Well, the fun thing about this, though, is that there is a catch to this legislation. And it is that religious groups are exempt from the... Stand by. But there is a catch. Religious groups are exempt from the legislation, as would church-affiliated groups such as the Boy Scouts, which Utah has strong ties to the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons, and prohibit gay scout leaders from participating. So they're pumping this out to be, a public business cannot discriminate, but perhaps a church one still can. So they're kind of riding this fine line. And their spokespeople are saying things kind of like I was just saying. America thought that Mormons were sexually deviant because they chose to share their love in a way that was not conventional. And so they're trying to, like, identify now and say, okay, well, you know what? We got driven out of an entire fucking state because of who we were. Like, okay, we get it.
Oh, they got driven out of, like, 8 states.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
They started off in upstate in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go west, as the village people said to... I'm guessing the Mormons.
So, well, several states have passed laws banning LGBT discrimination. Utah's proposed law is unique in that it has enjoyed the support of the Mormon church leaders in this conservative state. Governor Gary Herbert says he will sign the bill if it passes through all the legislature, no problem. Civil rights advocates say that the agreement between the church and the civil rights groups has been a long time coming following 7 years of talks and negotiations. He says, I think, who said that? I lost who I was talking about. Anyway, the quote says, I think at least it puts LGBT folks on the same level as all other folks, said Mariana Lowe, the legislative counsel with the ACLU of Utah, adding that the state's protections for religious freedom are already very broad. So, yes, the religious people are covered, and now we're going to say, okay, you can't discriminate based on LGBT. Religious people, you can still do whatever the fuck you want.
And I was like, I'm all for it. Just put in your bakery window, but we don't like gays. Like, just... Just,
oh my God!
Just make
it
like
soapbox
we don't
today.
Use gluten. We use sugar in our icing. We don't really like ice. And then we can all just make a choice. Yeah. Like,
and homos keep on walking.
Yeah. Just. I don't want to accidentally buy your cupcake. Like, just let me know that you're what you're for or against. Put it on your sign. Like, you're either open to business for everyone, or
we hate you here.
Yeah. We have strong religious beliefs. You might want to like Google us before you come in here and order a cupcake from us. I think suing people because they're bigoted is just...
It's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
It's pointless. Why do you want their business? And don't drive them out of business. There's some other small-minded people. Keep them in a colony.
Keep them on an island. Who cares? You know, I was actually just on the soapbox earlier today because somebody was asking me about local bars in town. And there's one that's maybe not so shy about not wanting women there. And I said, you know what? It's a fine place. It's a wonderful place. I don't fucking go there.
Yeah.
The owner doesn't want my money. I won't give it to him. Done and done. Like, why is this such a hard concept? Like, I'm not out there picketing saying, please let women into this bar. I don't give a fuck.
But there are people in the city who have.
I know, and I don't understand.
Wait, what bar is this?
Really?
Oh, no, I just missed the beginning of the story.
No, you don't know this.
I thought Chick-fil-A. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, a bar in the city that's not particularly welcoming of women.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like, so if I have a female friend in town, like, we
don't go there.
We're not going there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And luckily, the bar crawls are all supposed to end there.
And you never make it because you're all wasted by the time
you jump off.
Luckily,
right.
The only people, there's no one awake for the end of the tour anyway, so no one gets there. But that's one of those things like, shit. And the one day we did go through the whole shebang with it. And I just looked at the person working the door and I'm like,
right.
In 2014, this is the fight you want to pull?
Sure.
And then I was on the other side of the door. The best part about this place is the taco shop.
For real. And, and people roll up there with little kids at 3 a.m. Like, just around the way.
Yes. At 3 a.m.
I was just talking to somebody about
kids.
That, too.
What is that all about?
Well, there is no time
limit.
There's
no bad time for good tacos.
No, but again,
you see all these people with these children strung out at all, strung out, but I mean, they've got the kids out at all hours of the day or the night. I don't know, it's kind of odd.
Maybe it was my new husband talking about it. I don't know. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about like the little kids in their little light-up sneakers, like running around in front of the taco stand.
Funny stuff. The audio just went to an old show.
Oh, bad news.
Stand by. We're going to
fix it. No one is listening to us right now.
But they're watching.
That's true.
And anyway, and Jenny, I do agree with you. Like, they should be shut down. But at the same time, I'm like, it's just like...
No, because that's legitimately how capitalism is supposed to work. If you have a good product or a good philosophy, then you should be successful. You know, yeah. And people will support
Let
you.
Let the market shut it down. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, if you're a dickhead and the population, in general, decides to spend their money wisely, which is the problem. The uninformed people and the impulsive people and the selfish people are the problem. You know, because they're still gonna, you know, remember when we all hated Domino's? We still fucking ordered it. We just told our friends that we hated Domino's because of...
Why did we hate Domino's?
Because they were anti-gay for a while.
Oh, didn't realize.
Oh, that. And they're very pro. Like, they're very like anti-choice.
Yeah.
They still were... I still went on them for Domino's, but they did stay very anti-choice.
Right.
Oh.
You know, but there
I never remember. But then I forget, is it Papa John's or Domino's? So I avoid both and I go to Pizza Hut because...
Papa John was a real douche about Obamacare. I don't remember how especially discriminatory he is. He was a greedy old bastard.
One of them gave a lot of money to the anti-choice campaigns. Right. But then I get all the last. But I did go. I did try a chick fucker chicken one time.
Did you?
Just because they're like in the neighborhood. It was just greasy chicken. Like I was sure like, is. I get the shit at Wendy's.
Deep fried.
And get the redheaded girl's chicken. It's the same.
That's true.
The redheaded girl's chicken.
She doesn't have the waffle fries.
It's just chicken and fat. Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Actually, they are all over Arizona.
I know. Where's it? Where's the machine?
No, it's not in here. But they're harmless.
Of course it's in here.
Harmless? It's the size of a dog.
It is not. It's harmless.
We have been invaded.
And it's going to go right into the fan. We have been invaded.
The right thing to do is open your mouth.
Yeah, Al. Suck it in. Take it all in.
God damn it.
All right.
Where are we going now?
Well, here's where we're going to go now. The next story was really for Marnie, and I kind of want to save it till next week, but maybe I'll do it 2 weeks in a row. Because there's a new sex toy on the market designed to help gay couples conceive a child.
It's not a toy then, is it?
That's right. The Semenette is an ejaculating dildo that can now help couples get pregnant through artificial insemination.
I'm a falsetto child.
You have to whip it up by hand.
Yeah, whip it up. Just beat that to a fine lather, kids.
When you're home beating your dick like an Iraqi prisoner.
Yep.
Well, the Semenette can be used solo or with a partner. And provides pleasure even when you're not looking to get pregnant. Inventor Stephanie Berman created the device after being disheartened by other methods of insemination. The only options other than going to a doctor's office would be a turkey baster... or a needleless syringe.
And you got to have somebody good with the hands on the end of the turkey baster.
Right. So we started using those types of things and quickly realized it was as awful as it sounds. There's nothing romantic or sexy and fun about trying to impregnate your wife with a turkey baster. That's right.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
Berman started to brainstorm and realized the dildo would be the perfect way for both partners to feel involved in the process and keep it intimate. She says, I've seen a lot of couples go through months and months of trying and being unsuccessful. I've seen the emotional toll it can take on people, not to mention the financial burden. The Semenette, which helped Berman and her wife successfully conceive their daughter, currently retails for $139.99.
Batteries included?
What? When is the last time you bought a strap-on? I mean, that's on the high end, but come on now.
I can tell you, never.
Is there a price?
Never. 100 and how much?
$139.99.
$140.
That's fair for a good lay.
Those things are expensive, man.
I have no reason to know this.
I know. I do.
But wow.
They're expensive.
Wow.
I know.
Well, you want quality products.
Exactly.
Cream-filled, obviously. Now,
being a good researcher, I checked out their website.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No, I didn't buy one. No.
What's it called?
The Semenette.
Semenette. It sounds like a cookie.
It sounds like they sing backup for Bette
Please
Midler.
Welcome the Semenettes.
It's Bette and the Semenettes.
Oh, my God. She would love that.
One fine day.
She would love that.
You'll get your goods. Yeah.
Things that I loved about the Semenettes website was on
the stickiness.
Yes. And also, too.
The use of hand towels. I feel like I'm on $25,000 pyramid.
Things that sound in the butt box.
Things that the Semenette would say. Doesn't work in your butt.
My favorite.
I'll bet it does. Oh, there it is. Look at that.
My favorite question on the frequently asked questions page is what liquids can I use in the Semenette?
No.
And I'm thinking to myself, what other liquids do you want to use? They, of course, very...
I feel like you have an answer.
Well, I'm not sure what other ones you want to use, but the Semanet, in a very politically correct way, said, most liquids can be put inside the Semanet, although we do not recommend putting any foreign substances into vaginal or anal cavities. If you wish to use this as a fetish product, you may do so, but we advise against it and will not be held responsible. You may also find that certain liquids will not work as well to mimic ejaculation. Yeah. And I'm really sad that Marnie's not here
but
for that.
First but first time I had... you saw that pearlescence hand soap squirt out.
Yes. I'm like, whoa.
You tell me one person that didn't watch that commercial and go,
oh. Oh, no.
Thanks for the new soap, Ma.
Yeah. So the people at the tester company have a sense of humor.
Grandma's like, oh, we got new mother of pearl soft soap. Oh, I saw it. Saw it. Sure did.
Mother of something. Oh, it is pearls.
Yes.
Makes a nice necklace.
It does.
This is a waste of a really good bottle of wine.
There's a lot of waste happening here tonight.
The buzz is real, but the joy is not there.
I'm so sorry.
This is one of the best bottles of wine going, and seriously.
And what are you drinking this evening?
Oh, Jesus. Le Galipier. Galipier.
Sure. Your French is better than that.
Galipier. I don't know how you pronounce this. I will do a Google on it. It's a Puy Fossé from 2012, and it is... This is the one that I take pictures of all the time, and I recommend to people. This is a spectacular bottle of a white Burgundy. It's just one of the absolute best.
There you go.
But it's one of those things where, I mean, I could have got the same buzz and no taste out of a $6.99 bottle of Barefoot Contessa shit show.
$3 Chuck, right.
But, I mean, the buzz is lovely, and I won't have a headache for it tomorrow. I can't taste anything that's going on in this.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, in this golden goodness.
Sad face
the,
for you.
Ye golden goodness.
Well, in my final story, to quote Han Solo, here's where the fun begins. The Star Wars universe is getting its first official LGBT character in the franchise's new canon, reports a website called The Big Shiny Robot. The historic introduction will occur in writer Paul S. Kemp's upcoming Star Wars novel. Paul S. Kemp. Yes, A-S-S. He's written a new Star Wars novel entitled Lords of the Sith, which is scheduled to be released in April of this year on the 28th.
Of this year?
In a month and...
Holy shit, I feel like the world is not prepared enough for
I feel like we're just getting used to the gay superhero. I don't remember who it was.
Catwoman.
Don't care. Is Catwoman a homo now?
Catwoman's eating pussy.
All right, I knew it was a lesbian.
On the DL, though, she's bisexual. Which we all believe in.
I'm into it.
And spoiler alert, he's going to die soon, but I'm enjoying Jesus' peanut butter eggs right now. Spoiler alert, he doesn't make it through the next story.
No.
Sad.
Just in. Breaking news.
Yep, they've described the new character, Moff Moores, as an Imperial who has made some very serious mistakes, but is an incredibly capable leader and spends much of the book working hard to prevent absolute failure. She also happens to be a lesbian. No.
So our first Star Wars character is going to be a lady?
Yep.
Gay character? All right.
Yep.
All right, that was my disappointment. That's me, the bad cake maker.
Mine too. I was kind of disappointed too. I knew the superhero was a lesbian too, and I was like,
bisexual. They went full on cop out with, and it's not. But it's not Selena. What's Catwoman's real name? Kyle.
No idea.
I think it's Selena Kyle or something.
I'm not even that nerdy.
But they've. She lost her powers or retired the suit, and some bisexual woman came in and stole it, and now she's Catwoman. So they didn't... I think it's Selena Kyle is Catwoman. They didn't make the original Catwoman bi. It's like the new person in the suit's a little... having like a college experiment with a, you know, toilet wine. I don't know. It was weird.
Selena Kyle. Yeah. Additionally...
Extra value is what you get when you Google Semanet. I can imagine.
Pop rocks in the Semanet. Wow.
Ew, who's putting pop rocks in his Semanet?
Jenny, I have to agree with you that the Coppola, their wines are actually very good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like most California, it's hard to find a good California white. I think California does better at reds, but the Coppola family wines are very nice.
Very nice.
They have a nice vineyard, and it really is
Francis Ford Coppola.
It's him and his son, I think. Family of Oscar. I don't know. family of Oscar winners.
The family, the Coppolas.
The only other three-generation Oscar winners besides the Houstons.
I would like to party with them on a beach. You know why? Because I want to be in the Coppola Cabana. Go.
And Nicolas Cage is really Nicolas Coppola, but he didn't want to be accused of nepotism. So
interesting.
He got rid of the Coppola. He's a cousin.
Huh. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Wow, the more you know.
That explains that shitty acting career. And so are we going to talk about, I think we need to talk about the Schooners, because there's a funny, right, isn't that their name?
The Sooners.
Sooners, whatever.
I actually had just pulled up a little story.
Whatever, dark time. So, first up.
I live under a rock, I know nothing about this.
I spent a lot of time.
Oh, you.
I spent a lot of time today.
Oh, no, I didn't know about this.
Okay. I spent a lot of time Googling Psi Alpha Beta, Psi Alpha Kappa, Psi Alpha.
Hang on.
I spent a lot of time today Googling, and I went to their website, and I looked at their...
Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
That one. Same song. I'm wrong. We haven't heard that clip in a while. Work on that. So, say it again.
What?
No. Say the name again.
We'll do this first.
Same song.
Okay, we got that now. I can only do one screen at a time.
Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Thank you.
Sigma Alpha Epsilon. Now, their whole thing is being a gentleman... They're all about being a gentleman, and they have this whole thing where because they are the deadliest fraternity in America right now, because they've had 10 deaths over the last decade from drinking and pledging, and just their hazing causes deaths. So they recently started, because of all the backlash, this new no pledges, and if you really have to go, I spent a good probably an hour and a half this morning on their website trying to pledge for them. So I went through all their recruitment videos, and they show you like all the other bad fraternities are all about working out and people that focus too much about looks and people that do like Dungeons and Dragons, what's that called? Role playing games and nerds and how they're different. And the one guy goes, so what do you think about your pledges? He's like, that's a derogatory term. We don't use it anymore. I'm like, you guys fucking didn't, you killed your pledges. You fuckers just changed your mind on this. You Mormon motherfuckers just changed your mind on this year. And they're acting like, we've never used the word pledges. It's just hysterical. You just have to watch the video. And it's video after video after video of like what you do when you encounter these people in the wild you want to pledge. So much fun. It was Schadenfreude at the highest level today watching these videos. And so their thing is about being a Southern gentleman. Mm-hmm. Now, but one of the things that they have in their dog whistle racism of this truly awful group of people is that they're founded in the Deep South. And it says Deep South, pre-Revolutionary War.
In 1856 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Alabama.
Before the Civil War.
270 of their original members fought for the Confederacy. 7 of their original members fought for the Union. Not that that matters. We're 150 years ago.
I don't have any of that, but yeah.
People made some bad choices.
They were starting
before the
Civil War.
We're not going to blame them for them. But they didn't allow anyone of any color or alternate religion until very, very recently. This is a new thing. They were like the Mormon church, wherein God changed his mind about black people in 1970s. I believe. You know what I mean? Like, just crazy shit. But they're so good about keeping this image up that they change all their videos immediately and act like it never had, like the past didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But you just cannot say the words "we were founded in the Deep South in the 1850s" so many times before someone's like, oh, you mean you don't like black people?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many times you can say Deep South 1850 before someone gets the message. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Oh, you're a bottom. I got it. I like to sit on things. I enjoy squats.
Gosh.
I'm a falsetto child. I mean, there's only so many subtle hints you can get before you're like, oh, you take it up the ass. I'm with you. It's just so, it's so crazy. But so now they have this video, and now they're trying to make it sound like, and remember the rape case, there was a rape case in a New Jersey high school a couple of weeks ago where the parents were all upset because they canceled the football season.
Mm-hmm.
There was this whole rape thing, and they can't, and the parents were on the football field standing hand in hand crying that their sons' lives were ruined. Well, yeah, you rape somebody, your life's ruined. Somebody else's life is ruined too. Well, you're waiting for this backlash to start for the parents to come on being like, you can't kill our kids' college careers. No one's coming on TV claiming this when you can clearly see the kid's face. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to that school, they're not blurring his face.
Mm.
And
and they, he seemed to be pretty proud of it in the video.
Right. And so they had, CNN had this, one of the black member, for, he, I think it was 2001 to 2005 was his year as a, what's our same song, what's her name? Sigma.
Oh, Sigma Alpha Epsilon. Epsilon.
And I mean, he was like, he keeps being interviewed. And I can't think of what his name is. His name escapes me.
The kid that keeps apologizing?
No, no. Oh, he's okay. Being interviewed as a black member of Sigma Alpha Shame Shang.
Epsilon.
Howard Epsilon. Dixon, the chef that worked in the house?
No, no, no. This is an actual black member, a standing member. Okay. He's a recruiter now.
All right.
And they keep putting him on TV, and he's like just like these they didn't learn that song that day.
Oh, yeah. This
he's
is
like, they didn't. They
well,
didn't,
sure.
They didn't learn that song that day. He's like, they know this song. And he has to stand up there as a member of, like, and it's lynching. I mean, the level of it is so huge. And you're just watching this poor guy, and he has no one to defend.
Yeah.
Like, now he has to defend, like, okay, you're a brother. What the fuck were you doing pledging somebody whose thing said the Deep South 400 times in 1850? It's just crazy. So then they had a GoFundMe for the mother of the house.
No, not for the mother, for the chef.
No,
the black chef.
No, no, it's a woman. She's the house mother. And they had a GoFundMe campaign for her, and her name escapes me. She was on TV, and you could tell. Like this Southern lady had not seen lipstick or a pig in a long time. She put on foundation and blush, and she went on TV yesterday, all day yesterday. I think it was yesterday. All day. I can't believe my boys would ever do this. I'm just shocked. Because she's out of a job.
Right.
Her job was the house mother.
Mm-hmm.
They found a Vine video.
Of her saying. I heard that today.
Over. And she says it. And whether there's a chance that she's trying to sing along with a rap song. But just the glee she finds in saying the N-word like 18 times in a row.
Right.
And what she really looks like. Not the painted up. Like, we brought her to town, so we're going to try some makeup put some lipstick on this thing. Oh, my God. And so she, like, the GoFundMe page is down. Like, every time they try to, like, rise above this, you're just like, your webpage has Deep South in the 1850s. Like, your message is pretty much
so
whiteys only.
My confusion is I didn't realize there was a GoFundMe for her because there is still a GoFundMe. Indiegogo, I think it's what it's called, for Howard. Howard Dixon, who was the chef for over 15 years at that house. So now that they've closed the house out, he's out of a job. He's also a little upset and you know, about the whole issue,
right.
Obviously. But they've raised, their goal is $50,000, and as of this morning, they were at $36,000 for him because, obviously, he's out of a job. And he's got, you know.
Right, and they tried to do a GoFundMe
for her.
The house mother, and then the Vine video came out. And the worst part is... And as we do it here and if you edited this show wrong with the way we've made a joke about dark times.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you can edit anything, but I'm sorry. What you're not going to find is me with a Vine video saying the N-word 18 times or threatening. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between a little bit of, like, sarcastic humor and, like, whatever this shit is.
Mm-hmm.
But this poor guy that they keep interviewing, and he was a recruiter for SAE until... very, very recently. And like, one of the white people down there in Oklahoma that was just all offended, she's like, they have graffitied the building. They broke, tear it down on the wall. And the interviewer goes, yeah, they kind of have to. And she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the shortest interviews. And you could tell she was going to be like, you are they had wrote graffiti on the Coliseum,
right.
Going back to your story. She was all ready to be offended. And I can't remember. It wasn't Chris Cuomo, but we'll give him credit. It was like, yeah, they kind of need to bulldoze that building. And she was like, no, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the quickest interview. And you could tell she had put on her eyelashes for a whole long thing. And question number two was, well, fuck yeah.
I didn't see that one.
But it's so much fun. So, I mean, that tells you how, like, the kind of free time I have is that I really tried to pledge SAE today.
Wow.
Because I wanted to be a gentleman.
Well, sure.
But
like
just
you do.
The crazy shit. And just Googling it's fun. I mean, if you don't want to go as far as to watch the videos.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google their stuff about being a gentleman. And now they have this thing about drinking. They have, it's the Shield of Minerva. Somebody Google that, because I'm 99.9% correct that the Shield of Minerva is their health code. Because you join the fraternity and you get health insurance, you get You get your standards of conduct, but then you get like all the things you have to do to live up to their standards to be covered by their insurance. And they had to be, because they killed so many pledges, that they're insured by Lords of London.
Lloyd's of London.
They had to go internationally to find coverage because they kill so many pledges. So now the rules are all about you can't buy liquor for this, like you can't do a fundraiser, you can't play beer pong, you can't do this. And it's all under the shield of Minerva.
Minerva's shield, the rules for health and safety in Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Oh my God. I had so much fun on the internet today with
Gosh, I guess you did.
SAE. Because I'm like, I want to pledge these fuckers. Like, if they're this bad to minorities, let's see how they feel about, you know.
A game.
So you may, through wisdom, learn to subdue the baser passions and instincts of your natures.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
I'm already offended. Like, that's only the first
read
page.
It's
of the
like
first
page
quote.
One of how many? Like, did it tell you when you.
Hang on. No, I didn't download it. I'm just viewing it through things.
Oh, because when I viewed it, it's like 365 pages on how to not get the clap from the gay guy that's pledging you're making him suck your dick.
Health and safety policies, alcohol in the fraternity, drugs, controlled substances, and firearms, and hazing. They all get one chapter. Designated driver program, sexual conduct and violence.
Because you know their rape insurance must just be huge.
Health and safety fine structure.
Oh, yeah. And they tell you, like, you can do whatever you want to. It's all about personal choice. But if you get the clap, we're dropping you from our insurance.
60 pages or so.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like 100. No, funny stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot. Your membership agreement. We expect you and all of our members to comply with our health and safety policies.
And they pay a lot of money. They pay a lot of money to join. Like, mm-hmm. It's inclusive because of the cost of pledging. But and the other thing I thought of today, we really can't stretch this up to 3 hours when I can talk. The other mm-hmm. thing that came to me was the Joe Paterno, that cult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, as I was watching this poor black man having to, like, go on the news and just try to explain why he joined this clearly racist fraternity, he's like, they didn't learn this song today. And I mean, he was almost in tears. And I'm like, this just reminded me of Matt Marotska with the Penn State story. Right. Like, there's something about college. And I was busy just getting high and going to bars and sleeping with guys that I guess I missed out on what they were doing on the campus. Because I was like, well, you don't have a
sure.
There's no gay bar in here. I'm leaving. Huh? I missed the whole cult of college.
Well, and I've said it before. And I even had a reason it was slow at the bar, so we were talking politics. But I've said it before, like, the most terrifying terrorist in the world to me is the straight, white, young man mob mentality.
Yeah.
Like, give me three frat boys, and that's the scariest fucking thing you can possibly imagine
to
me.
I've always said that. Like, if I'm walking through a neighborhood and you're going to walk me by people, mm-hmm. you get the three, like,
yeah.
redneck 20-year-old, yeah. nuh-uh. That's the neighborhood I'm not walking through. Because
mm-hmm.
those are the three that seriously have damaged issues.
Yep.
And are going to do some serious fucked up shit because they have white privilege, yeah. no sense of
insecurity,
yeah, and no sense of consequences for their action. And mm-hmm. when you saw that rape case from New Jersey where the mm-hmm. parents were like, "You're killing our kids' college, like, football careers."
They ruined that girl's life.
They
yeah.
raped somebody. Like, what part of what part of that scale did you just think you won? Like, who? Whose sympathy would? Who did you think was on the other side of the TV that was going to sympathize with the rapist? Like,
right.
Just help me out here. Crazy, crazy, crazy shit. But it's just so much fun. Mm. I think we killed that horse. But you got to watch. You just got to watch this old lady. First, you got to see her interview face, where she clearly had a makeup consultant.
Seriously, just turn over to your TV and turn on CNN right now, because there's been like three stories in a loop. There's been this one, there's been the Hillary one, and there was...
But the only way I found the house mother was online. I did not see her.
Oh, no, she was on, on CNN, yeah.
Early this morning, she was not on CNN. She was only on the internet.
As of about 4 o'clock the afternoon,
okay.
this afternoon,
yesterday,
she was...
Yesterday, the makeup one, and all I kept thinking of, The Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston and Zooey Deschanel.
Okay.
Where Zoe works for the makeup counter at like the Walgreens, and she's like, it's called Cirque du Face. It's a circus for your face. And she's like the really uninterested girl that paints the women with these crazy makeup jobs and gives them all these like weird French names for what she's done to them. And it looks like someone did Cirque du Face on the house mother's face. Because then you see her the next day, like she really looks, which is, you know, not a... A handsome older woman that doesn't wear a lot of makeup, mm-hmm. just spewing horrors.
No.
A bukkake party from a clown college.
It's called Cirque du Face. It's a circus for your face. If you haven't seen Good Girl either, that movie is hysterical.
They referred to her today on the radio as a Mrs. Garrett type. It's what they referred to her.
Right. And it looks like Mrs. Garrett got Cirque du Faced. She got the Seminator. What's it called?
I was almost home, Mrs.
Garrett. The Seminator?
The True Gentleman.
The True Gentleman. That's
from
their
code of conduct. Handbook.
Oh.
The True Gentleman.
As long as you're not black.
What? Right.
What?
I can't remember. I don't even know what the hell we were talking about.
Mrs. Garrett, back to life.
Tidian.
Oh, the fact that you didn't. There was something in there that you were like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. We'll figure it out later.
Don't know. We might not.
Or not. We'll see.
Let's, the Simonette. You were like, I don't know what it is. Thank you, Aaron. I just said Simonette to you, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, wow, short-term memory loss, any?
I don't read my articles.
Or don't retain them, either one. Okay.
Like, it was your fucking... You can't shit on your own story. That's cheating.
I no longer know what we're talking about right now.
I do. We're going to talk about the next segment. It goes like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulcan, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly never less tire shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk.
Oh, hurry.
Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Oh, did it end?
Yeah. Like,
I know this song.
Welcome, hi.
It's 46 seconds every time.
So, we'll just start with the Simonette.
All right.
Jeez. Oops, I'm going to take this off of there.
No, I did not buy one. And no, I do not intend to.
If you decided that you wanted a child of my very own...
Mm.
Like, how far would you go? Like, what lengths would you be willing to go to?
Well,
would you spill the Jesus eggs all over?
Apparently I spilled the Reese's eggs every fucking place.
You know how I know I'd like Jesus? Because he's always represented by pastels. It's behind you.
Clearly, I would scour the countryside far and wide for the eggs of Jesus.
The eggs of Jesus?
Oh, my gosh.
I'd put them in me if they had peanut butter in them.
How'd you get them in there?
You're stuffing them in your face right now. You're fine.
Is there an orifice? Yeah, is there an orifice? I'll semenette its way in there. I don't care.
I think...
God.
It's hard to imagine because I'm not dedicated to the cause and I can't have empathy for the person who desperately wants that. But I would imagine for something that I...
Well, then, because I think we're all going to be on that same page. Like how far do you think is...
Too far?
Too far. Like, and because we all know those people, like...
Well,
and I think the children on the, well, I'll get to my part later, but like, at what point are you like, just fucking adopt a baby?
We had somebody sitting in that very chair,
right?
That we've all watched go through that, but
nothing extreme. Like, she was just going through artificial insemination with, you know, one donor, and
yeah, just trying. I think adoption should maybe be talked about a little bit earlier, you know what I mean, when people are having trouble having children, and maybe, I know there's a whole lot of kids out there that could use a whole lot of homes, and
yeah,
and
that is true.
So there's an obvious follow-up question, but I'll let whatever his name is over there.
How far would I go?
But we all kind of know our answer is that none of us are looking to, like,
we're all like, eh.
No.
Well, I'll walk to the end of that table, and then
I turn the lights off.
If I'm not pregnant by the door, I'm done.
I mean, you're looking at a person who's already.
Don't tell my husband.
At what point
I don't know
would
if he
you
wants
would you
not.
Counsel a friend like enough?
Mm.
Well, I think part of it would be.
Does that make more sense?
Are they doing? Mm-hmm. Are they doing harm? You know, is the procedures that they're going through, or is it literally physically hurting themselves.
Right, and because some of these procedures are, I mean, the inseminator sounds delightful with a little surprise at the end. With a warm shot of something. Yeah, exactly. Can we control the speed of the ejaculate? That's
no,
gross.
I have a whole new answer.
Okay.
Oh.
There's only three of us. We can go around a couple times.
But I would say if they're causing harm to themselves, and then obviously there becomes, I think it, most with anything, well, not with anything, but a lot of people get so driven and focused on it that they become like obsessed with it. It's just mentally, they lose sight of everything else that's real in the world. And they stop taking care of themselves or their house or their job or other family members if they're responsible, because they just get so driven and focused on one thing and they lose sight of what the life and the reality is. So I would intervene if they were going fucking crazy. Or we're just in my way.
For sure.
or had my parking spot. And I think, like, I don't, like, as you hear stories, like and with Katie's story of, hers was just always the constant insemination and trying.
Yeah.
Let me just ask Jenny. I was just going to ask Jenny if she would have one for someone else, because Jenny said as a bisexual she could have a baby. So I was just wondering, like, would you do it?
Be a surrogate.
Be a surrogate for someone. And Marnie finally chimes in through a text message that she would change. She would say, if health is at risk, change course.
No, I say stop when it doesn't make you happy anymore. Like when you're starting to, like, kind of like you're saying, but maybe even a step before that. Like, if it's not fun, stop fucking doing that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you're so stressed out about having a kid that it's no longer fun.
But is there so much emphasis on the importance of reproducing in a couple? And I think this is new for the gay community, because when I, you know, opened up this door and walked through it, I was under the impression that marriage was off the table, kids were off the table.
Right.
And I thought,
and now,
well, this is the promised land.
Right.
You know what's funny? I tell people that I'm old-fashioned gay married, like back before we couldn't, and we just lived together and made it a family. Yeah, because I wear a ring, and people are like, oh my God, are you married? And I'm like, I'm old-fashioned gay married. Like, we moved in together 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
For lawyers, but what is it, one more year and you're in the same boat as everybody else anyways? At some point it becomes a common law and...
Not in this state. This isn't a common law state. That actually never happens.
Yeah, so I mean, and is the other conversation about... do we need to start having, I can't think of who it was that said it. But even recently, someone was describing Nicole Kidman and was like, she has two kids and two adopted kids.
And differentiating.
Like, there's a difference between her children. Like, is that a conversation that we need to start having with people almost immediately, as far as like gays are concerned? Because now we're entering into this arena where we're kind of new. Many of us are new to the playing field. Some people came from old relationships where they already had children. Some people knew they wanted children going in and had made plans for. Mm-hmm. But is it a way to say that your adopted children are your children too? Like, because whenever I hear that, when someone's like, well, they have three children, one's adopted, I'm like,
what's it matter?
No, what does it matter,
have,
right?
They have three children. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Walters has, her child is adopted, and she always talks about, like, her story of, like, if you ever use that word about my, if only I can use that word about my daughter. Like, if you ever call her my adopted daughter,
right,
I'll put a spear through your fucking neck. That's my daughter. Mm-hmm. So is that a conversation that needs to
Barbara
start?
Barbara needs to calm down a little bit.
No, actually, no, not at all, because
She's putting spears through necks.
No, I may have added the spear through.
Right. I want to see that bitch throw that javelin.
Yeah. I do, too. She's 80 and got a lot of gumption. But is that a conversation that we need to start having in the community about an adopted child is still your child? Like,
of course they are.
Because there's gays that are being denied fostership, they're doing fostering, like... Is this a conversation we need to have with people? Like, it's still your kid. Does that make sense? Before we go through these, like, people are wasting, like, tens of thousands of dollars to make a baby in a test tube when there's one sitting across the street that maybe needs a home? Like,
well, I feel like being three people that have no children of their very own,
But you're, I mean, you're raising
experts
two.
On this topic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I give relationship advice.
What?
Nothing. Advice. Dark time.
Dark time.
I give relationship dark time. Dark time is my new, like, synonym for anything you need it to be.
Dark time.
Mm-hmm.
No, having not given birth to any children, well, and even, like, you can say I have kids, and I do, and, you know what I mean, I know that we're a family, and we've made this home, but in my situation, they're very much not my kids as well.
Right, and because of a
right.
a divorce and parenting issues.
Right, yeah, we have our own special shit show, so I do sometimes, let me tell you, it's special. I do sometimes differentiate. I do sometimes make sure to make the distinction that, no, they're not my children.
Oh, right. And that would be the difference between adopting, like, if he gave up his rights and you
right.
formally adopted
them. Then
they
would be mine, 100%, yes.
Because now you're you're in a step situation.
Right.
And I think with step, sometimes that may need a bit more of differentiation because
that
there
line
is
blurs a lot.
Because there is another parent involved that maybe you're excluding if you don't say...
Right. But having said that, but also with the caveat that I have not had any children, I think maybe... Like, that bond can be the same without the biology. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
maybe
of course,
maybe
yeah.
we're over-romanticizing the, you know, the fruit of my loins.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, is this something that needs to be addressed within the community as people are entering this? That, like, you don't need to go hire a surrogate. You could start...
Right.
And you need
start,
to make sure...
Start the adoption process, and you will love that child just as much as any other child you could have.
And there probably is a difference.
And they will be perfect and wonderful no matter who they are.
And there may be a difference between adopting a newborn and adopting an older child, which is much harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like adopting the black dog from the... where the dark dogs from the kennels don't get
right.
adopted as often because they don't photograph as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same as, like, adopting a child at 7? Do you still
sure.
feel like because they've had 7 years of prior experience, like...
Right.
I don't know. I think...
Well, and kids don't get to be 7 and in a position to be adopted without a lot of family trauma.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, either everybody's dead, which is its own trauma, or they've lived in the system their whole life. So, yes, an older child is always going to be more challenging. You're not gonna get,
yeah,
you know, Johnny White Boy as your 7-year-old that you're adopting.
Right. I mean, it's an odd conversation. And I remember a couple of birthdays ago coming to the conclusion that I was no longer able to offer... And I think we talked about this. Like, there was an age where I was like, I can no longer be part of the raising of a child relationship.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Like, I can't date someone younger that has some child dream because now I think I'm too old to
be. Yeah, this
be.
Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of that equation either. No, I'm not. I'm having trouble raising myself.
And sometimes it's not an age. Sometimes it's just like, I don't want kids. And now, like, it wasn't part of our old...
Right,
lifestyle,
it didn't used
but now
to be
it is.
We got
to
wrap this up. It's end of our third hour. We thank you for joining us. It's Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, me. I'm Clayton McKee. It's the show on Q Talk America. We'll leave you with this. Hey, we will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America.